Well, seems fairly obvious. Ooh, wait a minute. The words. Right. Say the words. Klaatu! Barata! Necktie. Nectar. Nickel.
Oh, noodle. It's an N-word. It's definitely an N-word.
Definitely an N-word.
Klaatu, Barata, Nickel-Sherman! Okay, then. That's it.
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Your sons and daughters, it's our time to shine. Take your radio and throw it down, shout it on the floor. There's nothing else I need to hear, and I just can't ignore your candy-coated, bloated ego, platinum pile of shit. With nothing in your arsenal, pull punches, count as hits. But I've been waiting so long for a song with just one change. You versus strike a sounding chorus, you're all the same.
You're safe now.
Wonder Twin Powers, deactivate!
The Super Friends!
Lori!
Is that you?
Oh, no! It's my parents!
Who?
My parents! They've changed. They don't seem the same anymore.
Lori is always running away. Don't pay any attention to her foolishness.
Uh-oh. Dirtbag alert.
Steve. Hey, I gotta talk to you, man.
Easy, slick. Steven's relaxing.
This place, the yogurt shop. Yogurt shoppy. Fuck, it's a shoppy.
Get out. Not you.
I am the Minister of Justice. Do you have any idea what I could do to you?
Really? You gonna try and talk tough standing there in your red underwear? You have 10 words. 10 words. To explain to me why you would want your fiancé killed by the Yakuza.
You don't have the faintest idea what's going on.
How many words was that?
9.
You have 1 word left. Really?
Mariko would have never come through with the wedding. She never took to me.
Really? Class act like you.
Wait!
No! You wanted the truth and I told you to!
I didn't like it.
How did you know there's a pool down there?
I didn't.
Come on! Everybody! The wacky adventures of Ronald McDonald! Hey kids, did you hear the news? Time to put on your adventure shoes. Get ready for some big surprises. Adventures come in lots of sizes. We'll have fun, be outrageous. Wackiness is sure contagious. Come on, Hamburg with Bernie Grimace too. I want you all with me, and that includes you. On the way to play, on the run for fun, going by. no, no. What's around the bend? But we just can't wait. Adventures are great with all our friends. Let me hear ya. Bop, 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 bop. Come on.
Bop, 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 bop.
Everybody.
Bop, 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 bop.
Oh, the wacky adventures of a Ronald McDonald.
Should I call you Logan, Weapon X?
No, Wolverine. Snickety, snickety, snoring.
What he's doing is imitating Wolverine's berserker attack with his adamantium claws.
Timmy, represent.
Never would have guessed.
Come on. Boom, yes! Hey, everyone! It's time for Nora Mulberry. Welcome to the show. Yes, 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 it's Friday. Woohoo! Film, television, pop culture! Yay! Woo! Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. This is our 280th show. Holy shit. We did it. We should have hit this milestone a long time ago, but, you know, we've been taking breaks here and there. We used to be a weekly show, didn't we? And we kind of bi-weekly, bi-monthly, just whatever works for us. But still, 280, that's nothing to sneeze at, Stephen.
We worked quite a bit on this week after week for years.
Yes, and years.
Very little time off in there.
And I want to say, welcome to my left, Stephen the Pop Culture Zealot!
What's
happening? Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian!
Hello.
How's it going, Bill? Dude, 280 shows, guys. Isn't that crazy?
That is. That's a lot of shows. And then, technically, we probably over 300 with the like the lunchtime and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've hit that.
Minis and stuff like that. So
I'd say if you want to get technical, we've probably already hit 300 or are close to it. If you count NIMH Movie Minis, if you count lunchtime shows, maybe
we
not...
We be prolific.
Maybe not 300, but if we count after the shows also, we're close.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the after the shows.
Yeah, and that's why, like, today I was looking at the Cake Boss drops, and I was like, Jesus, we have a lot of Cake Boss drops, you know? And I just had to, like, post that up, like, this is only a few Cake Boss drops, and it's like row after row after row of Cake Boss. And it's just like, some asshole made those. Who is this loser? I was like, oh,
he
wait.
He had plenty of time on his hands, obviously.
I make the drops, Foggy plays them. That's all
They're very
to say.
Well organized, though.
Why, thank you, Bill. Very meticulous. Maybe an insane person did it?
Maybe I wouldn't say that, just particular.
Patrick Bateman type podcaster, maybe? Do you like
not hiding any bodies or axes or rain slickers or anything in that house?
Yeah.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Love him.
Well, welcome to the show, guys. 280. It's been an honor to do this mini shows with you guys. It's fun. It's my therapy, and I always have a blast doing it.
Well, thanks for having us. Well, for me,
Bill?
How about you, Bill?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wait.
Yeah, definitely.
Wait, you haven't had fun doing the show this whole time, Bill?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay,
it's been my therapy. The weeks we don't have it, I feel like I'm going to go insane.
If we go, like, 2 weeks, I'm just like, what am I doing? You know, like, if... Here's the funniest...
I'm a little crazy to begin with, but then 2 weeks, it's just like,
The funniest part of the torture is, like, say if we... And this has happened recently, like, where we won't do a couple weeks of shows, and I'll be watching, like, you know, like, Hell's Kitchen or whatever, and I go, that would have been a great drop. I'm just like, damn it! It's gone forever! Because when I watch the shows, I might keep this in mind. You know, oh, I could use that theme song in the intro. I could do this.
You can't keep that Hell's Kitchen shit up in your head that long. It'll
yeah,
drive you
that's
crazy.
Why. That's why I made the decision a long time ago. Like, I used to think, well, we'll just talk about, like, three episodes back to back. Nah, just let it go, Jason. Too many.
If you remember them, fine. If you don't,
yeah,
fine.
That's just too many. There's no way we can do that. But that's all I have to say. I hope people enjoy the show and you send voicemail and stuff like that. We love that. But, Bill, I want to talk about something that's been kind of cool. It kind of snuck up on me because I just today saw that video you posted on the Entertainment Landfill fan club of the Flying Man short film.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dude, I thought that was badass.
Somebody posted that on Twitter today, and I can't remember who it was. I wish I could remember. I'd give them credit, but when I watched it, I was just like, "Whoa, that's something that we always would talk about." Like, it's like a comic book nerd discussion. Like, well, what if somebody showed up and just started taking people out, and we couldn't explain it, and everyone was scared shitless? And I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, it was. It was actually kind of spooky. But, Steven, you need to watch it. It's pretty cool. It's basically, I thought it was a movie trailer, honestly, at the beginning. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be cool. But then I realized, oh, it's a short film.
Yeah. Maybe it's like a kind of a short film with the hopes of a feature. I don't know. I know the guy that did it has been working in the like special effects industry for quite a while. So
what I like about it is it starts off kind of like, oh, cool, like, and then all of a sudden it gets like, holy shit, kind of scary. And
yeah, it's
disturbing.
Like a psychopath, psychopath super flying person.
Yeah, imagine like you see one day a guy is flying on the news. There's a dude flying, Steven, and all of a sudden the guy picks up a person, then drops them and kills a person on camera. People are like, oh, my God, the guy's nuts or whatever. That's what was cool.
And then you see him flying with a car and everyone's like, oh, shit. Well, now not only can he fly, he's super powered.
Yeah, he's super strong.
Throws the car.
And then earlier in the week, there was another short film that was released on YouTube called Truth in Journalism, starring Ryan Kwanten, Jason Stackhouse from True Blood. And that was really cool, too. They just kind of snuck up on us back to back. And it's a cool week for short films on the internet, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I thought that was really well done, and it reminded me. And it's obvious that it's influenced by the faux documentary "Man Bites Dog." Do you remember that, Steven?
Yeah.
We watched that way a long time ago. I don't know what year we watched it on VHS, rented from Blockbuster.
Early '90s.
Yeah, like
that's one of those film school references, like '90s film school stuff.
Yeah, I watched it repeatedly, and you know, it is kind of a sick film, but I really like at the time really liked it. I haven't seen it in years and years, but it reminded me of that, the Truth in Journalism, as soon as I started watching it, and I thought it was really cool.
And but it's also, and it kind of had like it was in English, but had French subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that was
kinda
a cool little reversal there.
Yeah, a little reversal. It was cool.
Like the filmmakers were French and they were making it for their audience, but he spoke English.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. That guy's a... I saw people in comment section saying, who knew this guy could act with a stupid character on True Blood? And I was like,
oh, come on.
I was like,
he's the best part of True Blood.
You know, he's not a really dumb guy in real life.
Yeah.
He's an actor playing a dumb guy. Are people really that stupid?
Yes, they are.
Oh, my God.
I mean, case in point, today I'm going down through my Facebook feed, and I won't name who did it, but somebody reposted this thing of, like, surveillance photos of somebody at an ATM and being robbed. And it said, did you know that if you put your ATM code in backwards, it's an emergency signal that'll summon the police? And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, it's just, they constantly, people are just getting dumber. Just dumber and dumber and dumber.
Excuse me.
And they wow. repost that shit on a regular basis.
Is it the same as like, hey, Facebook, I do not give you permission to use
yes,
any of my
that
photos.
That is exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly my dad did that one day. I was like, Dad, come on.
I can't remember who it was on my feed, but they put in, well, so my ATM code is 5115, and it only summons the cops half the time. Just thought that was hilarious.
Well, did you know?
He was Ryan Carter, yeah.
Did you know this, Bill, that today is the exact day that it happened in Back to the Future 2? Oh, man, that's so awesome.
That's not a coincidence.
Oh. Okay, I made it up. But it's funny how people fall for that all the time. Today's the day from Back to the Future in the future, guys.
It's like, believe shit.
No,
like,
it's
they're
not.
So desperate to believe something that they just do it. They just...
Yeah.
I don't know. Just use your heads.
Just like, no, it's not. God, I'm not going to write anything, though. Just, why do people always fall for it? Why can't we have someone there to do it for us? You know, like, you be the bad guy.
Like a double check. When you press submit on Facebook, it says, are you sure you want to do this?
Wonder Twin Powers, activate!
Or like an automatic checker for like chain letter spam. Like, this has been proven false. Are you sure you want to continue?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's Facebook is hilarious, though, how people do that. Like, I've, long time ago, it hasn't been a long time, but when your family members, remember when email, like, your aunts and uncles first started getting email, and they would send you a chain letter, and you're like, what are you doing? Come on.
Make five prayers.
I remember back in the early days of the internet when people would send jokes like, hey, check this out. It'd be a funny joke or something.
Or you would get like a huge email with just all these stupid pictures.
Yeah, like, and it would be funny gags or whatever. Like,
yeah, well, my dad still gets those from his old friends, so it hasn't died.
My parents,
my dad will forward them to me like, can you believe who this is? And it's like, it's a picture of the actress that plays Flo in the Progressive commercials. And I'm like, yeah, I can believe who it is. Is it real? I mean,
she's a comedian. She doesn't.
Yeah, are you? I just, it makes me want to bash my head into the computer monitor.
My favorite is my dad used to send emails where the subject would be like a letter. It would just say like T. And then the email would be a link to like YouTube or something. I was like, Dad, you're the same as spam. I'm not going to click on your stupid link.
Exactly.
Everyone knows you don't just click on a link in an email. I think you've been jacked or something. No, it's just quicker that way. You can click on it. It's like, I'm not going to. Stop sending emails like that.
I know it's mean in a way, but anytime I get something from my dad, I never open it. And he goes, did you see that email I sent you? I'm like, oh, yeah, that was really good, Dad. Yeah.
Yeah, all the articles and stuff my dad will email me, I go, post it on your Facebook. That's what that shit's for now.
Yeah.
You pay, now post it on your Facebook.
You're not only supposed to torture me, you're supposed to torture everyone.
Yeah, everyone that's
friends.
Following you, they can choose to ignore you or not.
Yeah.
All right, Dad?
Choice.
Now leave me alone, Dad! Oh, poor Dad. Oh, I'm so mean to my dad. I haven't talked to my dad in a while. I kind of feel bad now. Oh, well. So we have some voicemail this week, guys. You want to check that out?
Yes, sir.
Oh, and check out The Flying Man and Truth and Journalism, both those short
Flying
films.
Flying Man!
I remember my friend's mom was one time, so I don't know why this reminded me of this, but let me just digress here. She was telling us one time she saw a glowing man walking in a field. She thinks he was from a UFO. And we were kind of like, dude, your mom's nuts. Why is she telling us this story?
Has your mom ever done drugs?
And I'll never
forget some of them.
The same lady, she goes, she came over. She knocks on the door. I guess we were supposed to know her now. We opened the door and she goes, and she was holding a cookie sheet of biscuits. She goes, I'm making dinner. My oven is full. Can I please use your oven to make some biscuits? And I was like, sure. So she comes in.
It's Texas. Leave them outside.
She's cooking the biscuits. And I go off in the other room. My dad comes home. He's chilling. He's sitting watching TV. And
strange lady walks
in. I just walked back in. And all of a sudden, this lady comes walking in. And she goes to the kitchen. He goes, well, come on in. She like looked at my dad. He's like, come on in. And she didn't say anything. She just grabbed her biscuits and left.
Oh, my God.
And
you pretend like you didn't know?
Dad, I don't know who the hell that lady is.
I don't know.
She needed to cook her biscuits.
She somehow got her biscuits in our oven.
I saw glowing biscuits in your oven.
That was just the utility light.
Aren't you glad I told you guys that story?
I'm too enlightened like a glowing man.
A glowing man. All right, let's check this out. Our first voicemail is from Adam. All right. And it's weird. He sent like three attempts at a voicemail, and I'll just link them all together. Oh, by the way, it's Adam's birthday. I got to say that.
He shares a birthday with my middle sister.
That is awesome. Happy birthday to you.
I haven't wished either of them a happy birthday
to you.
Well, you can't
happy
right now, Bill.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday
Adam. To you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
It's not over yet. How about?
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Stevie Wonder one yet?
I'm sorry?
Have you pulled the Stevie Wonder one yet?
No.
Aww.
That wouldn't be any fun. But all right, let's check out Adam's voicemail.
Hey, what's up, ETO Landfill? It's Adam from the Bay Area. Hey, guys. Well, I have to say I'm honored as your unofficial guest on episode 2. I forget the number, but I think the title had something to do with spoiler alert or the most amazing or the most delicious. We're going to do it our way. Something to that effect. But,
something like that.
Yes, I am your only Stitcher listener. And it's just, you know, this app that the Apple guys tried to make. It's just not leveling it up. You know what I mean? More like rotten apple. Do you hear me? Right? No? Bad joke? Okay. Insert.
And that was the end of the first voicemail. So let's see what the second one is.
Insert cricket noise here. Yeah, the other voicemail got cut off, so Jason, you'll just have to splice those together in the Audacity, or whatever, you know, your editing program of choice is. But anyways, one of the funniest parts about last week's episode. Sorry, I'm going the wrong way. I'm getting hit by a PT Cruiser. This guy means business. I'm just kidding. No, but seriously, though, the funniest part about last week's episode was when Jason came out of nowhere talking about doggy's paws smelling like Fritos. And Bill's reaction to it was really funny. Like, gosh, that was random. And like, because it was like so random, like that Disney Channel show. Oh my gosh. And
Adam's
also the
mood.
Other part
what
that
the
I
hell
found
was
funny
that?
Was when Bill had to like root through his living room or whatever to go find his dog Wally and smell
Wally?
Its paws.
Wally,
he was like, you know what, it does smell like corn chips, off-brand corn chips. And then you guys made a few jokes about those, and I thought that was really funny.
Come here, Wally.
No. Okay.
You know, there's... I keep trying to send this voicemail to you guys, and I keep getting, like, I guess anytime there's any activity on my phone, it stops recording. So here's part 3. I don't even know where I left off, other than to just say that you guys have been doing a great job lately. I really appreciate all the work you've done and just how much you've improved my life. And
wow.
I am honored at any time there's a drop made of one of the voicemails. It's, you know, I feel honored for it. And I don't know if I've said this in either of the other parts, but I will say that it's an honor. And if you need to ask someone how much of an honor it is, you can call up that Eugene fella and Freddie Forks. Because, well, I guess Freddie Forks was never really featured as a drop, but I know Eugene was. Make a drop of that mulberry tail. Oh, you know what? We should all do our best Eugene impersonations. That would be a fun thing.
Let's
to
not
do, huh?
Say
maybe
we
for
did.
Your 300th episode. Huh?
Yeah. Huh? Let's let that die.
All right, guys.
Yeah,
have a great show.
Deserves.
The original voicemail that I left was so much better than this one. I can't feel but help. Like I'm letting Mike from Ireland down on this one. So, all right. Well, see you later. Big gulps, huh? Excuse me.
Well, thank you, Adam. And Mike didn't leave a voicemail, so whatever. But Adam, thank you so much for your triple weird cut-off voicemails. I appreciate that. Pretty awesome, huh, guys?
Yes. Fantastic.
I don't even remember what he was talking about.
No idea.
I was going to say some...
dog, Wally.
Oh, yeah.
Wally,
like,
yes. Wally.
If you don't know his dog's name, just say his dog.
Yeah.
You know? Cause it's,
but
it's...
I need... My next dog will be named Wally.
You know what's funny, though? Because I think that was before you got here. I mentioned that dogs' paws smell like Fritos. And Bill said, really? And he goes, it does. And I was like, he's not really smelling anything. He's sweaty.
Oh, yeah, I am. I had Marvin come over, and I...
I pictured you going...
right in there.
I pictured you fake smelling going,
chat.
Oh, yeah, Jason, it really smells
no,
like
I just had my webcam on. No, Marvin came right over, and I... stuck my nose in them.
If you type in Frito Paws on Google, a lot of people have asked that question. Why does it smell like Fritos? Well, it's obvious because he got into a Frito patch in your backyard. Jesus, come on.
A wild Frito patch.
He's digging up the wild Frito bush.
I don't buy them at the store. I go back there with a rake and I put them all in a bag. And whenever
You have to wash them and salt them.
Well, when I go to family functions, I have these big old bags. Here you go, some Fritos. And they're like,
garbage bag full of Fritos.
Have you ever had a family member who does that with like walnuts or almonds or something? No, what is it? Pecans. Yeah, that's it. They have like a pecan tree. So they give you these huge bags to everybody at family functions.
And I thank them for them because I love pecans.
Okay, well, that's cool.
I've never had that.
And then they tell you about a glowing man.
Then they use your oven for biscuits.
I'd like to use your oven for biscuits, please.
Only for a bag of pecans and tree.
What I should have said, if you go back on that story, I should have said, I really need to call my father and ask him permission.
Well, come right in.
Get that lady out of our house. And my dad says, you have to leave her. I am calling the police.
Those biscuits are ours now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
She comes back.
Did he even ask, like, later, like, who put the biscuits in the oven and why she stole them, or...
No. Well, that would have been great, though, if she comes back. She just pulls out an empty tray, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened to your delicious biscuits. You little son of a bitch. You can't hang out with my son anymore. Well, I don't really care, you needy bitch. Get the hell out.
My God. This went dark fast.
What happened? I don't understand. My friend comes over. What did you say to my mom, you jerk? She's crying. Hey, you know what? Oh, I'm calling the cops. All right, whatever. Okay, we got another voicemail. This one from Darren.
You can't just end it on that note.
Oh, wait, and then he comes back. Oh, and I'm like, what? Oh, and then we're like, oh. Then finally my dad's like, what the hell's going on in here? And he goes, I smell biscuits.
There we go.
All right.
You need the end to make sure we know it's the end.
Don't pay any attention to her foolishness.
Excuse me? All right, Darren, what's up, dude?
Hello, Entertainment Landfill. Good. Is it evening there to Bill, Jaystrom, and Stephen? It's Darren from Birmingham in the UK, just sending another message. Been a couple of months. I want to send an extra special thank you, especially today, at the end of a really crappy week at work, not feeling too good.
Oh, awesome.
On way home, listening to your last episode, it just put a smile on my face and I was started giggling out loud and even amongst doing a bit of shopping, people give me weird looks. But thanks for cheering me
up.
It's like, I've got to the bit round about the news section and there's bits where I just lost it and I lost it as well. I did have a weird reaction to your MasterChef section when you're talking about Brian. I kept on thinking of Brian Brightano and thinking of the song from South Park. I think Brian. Since last sent message, seen a few films, Star Trek, Into Darkness, a few issues with World War Z. I was pleasantly surprised how much I've enjoyed it. Although, at the cinema, they started playing it with subtitles, so that Sarah Dashian could play. And then saw Man of Steel and really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty much spot on. And just recently, The World's End, which again, enjoyed, laughed a lot, and at one point got a bit teary eyed. And it was very good. Leads me on to a recent development. I'm beginning to get annoyed by film critics and
in general
are thinking, what do you want? And they seem to be either comparing films too much and not just reviewing the film on its own merits, or they are liking one film to certain aspects and then criticizing another film for what they liked in the first film.
Boom.
If you know what I mean. And some films, they just seem to miss the point of having fun. And I think you've convinced me that I will see Pacific Rim because it just sounds like a blast. So I look forward to seeing it.
I think there's like a massive attack going on where he is.
A good show tonight. Again, it's going to be a bit late for me to listen live, so I'll pick up the podcast next week. And until then, have fun. Bye.
Thank you, Darren. Yes, we seem to complain quite a bit on critics and stuff. I basically have my couple of critics that I trust and read all the time, and I don't even always agree with them, but still they don't make me mad because they actually take the time to just say, like, if you take the time and say why you hated something, I understand, and yeah, that's cool. I'm cool with it. But I've kind of
become attached to Drew McWeeny. I just think that his opinions and the way he critiques the film is genuine. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't try to harp on something or go too obscure with references or compare or anything like that. He just kind of lays it out.
What's funny about film critique is that really it only comes down to if you will enjoy the film or not, right? Right. A lot of times, I've seen many films that have been panned, like, it just comes on HBO, I'm like, that wasn't that bad. You know, I heard that was freaking awful, you know? But it really, that's what it's about. It's someone else's opinion that you're reading there, so it doesn't necessarily mean you won't like it. You just find those kind of like-minded, where I kind of trust this guy.
It's kind of like somebody recommending a food to you, whether your food tastes match up, you know, your picture viewing may not match up.
Right. And your film tastes, and it's just like if somewhere, like if my dad were to say, "Hey, is Pacific Rim good?" Oh yeah, I loved it. I'm not really sure if you're gonna like it, Dad, but I really do. You know?
Right. Yeah.
I remember like telling my dad like when The Crow came out. This is years ago. Brandon Lee, Dad, you got to see that. And he goes, "I'm not really into like kabuki and kung fu movies," and I'm just like, you know what? Okay, yeah, not into that. Don't go see it.
Kabuki.
I'm not into kabuki and kung fu. It's like, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I'm not a real big fan of the Mikado or anything.
It's exactly what it is, Dad. So, yeah, you shouldn't see that, okay? It's just like,
it's exactly what it is, because I'm really big into kabuki. Love kabuki theater.
Yeesh. Hey. But, yeah. Let's check out Rick's voicemail. We got a Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey guys, I went and saw Pacific Rim. It was great, but it had one major flaw. I really don't like Australian accents in movies. They're not done properly. They're too bogan.
Bogan?
Yeah, it just doesn't feel
bogans?
Right. Just get some normal people to just do a normal Australian accent. Why are they going to be so
obvious? Just cast Australians.
Dude, I get the same thing with Texans and movies.
Yeah. I like VB and I smoke Winnie Blues. It doesn't work for me. They got to stop that. Why do they? Anyway.
I've got a boomerang right here, mate.
And
I'll see it. Oi.
Yeah, I just ran out of popcorn. That was my biggest disappointment of the movie. Anyway, have a great show, guys, and I'll talk to you next week. Yeah, Pacific Rim. What?
All right. Thanks, Rick. That was a short one. You know, the running out of popcorn thing, I don't think I ever brought this up on the show, Steven. It's serious shit, and I'm pissed off about it. I don't know why I'm ragging on my dad on tonight's show, but we went to see World War Z, Bill, which I enjoyed, by the way. My dad, you know, at the last minute, I was like, hey, you want to come to the movie? He's like, sure, I'll be there. You buy me a ticket. I'm
stuck
and,
in traffic. And
yeah.
Just make sure you get your own popcorn.
By the way, I don't do that. It's like, Dad, I'm not going to buy you a ticket. Because what does that mean? That means I got to stand in the lobby and wait for him. Yep. I'd rather be in my seat in the theater, okay? So anyway, he gets there in time, but he's like, man, I am so hungry. I'm famished. Steven, you might have some of that popcorn? And what are you like? Sure.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's hogging it all
no,
to himself.
I ate all that I wanted, and I normally when
usually
I'm done with
you
it,
give
I...
it to me. If I don't have my own popcorn, you'd share it with me. Am I right?
Right.
Well, my dad's hogging all of it. Even at one point, I'm just looking at him like, dude, are you going to eat all that? And he goes, I'm starving. I'm really hungry. It's like, why is that my freaking problem? Get a hot dog or something on the way up to sitting down in the theater, okay?
But he didn't want to miss the previews.
Even at one point, he held the bucket out to me, like, do you want some? And I went to reach for it, and he goes, ah, blah, blah, and pulled it back. And he thought he was being funny, but I was like,
what?
You're being a dick. I don't have time to go buy some popcorn for myself. The movie's going to start any minute now. And next thing I know,
and I had said, share, you know, you and Jason can share this.
And this is what he does. He goes to hand me the empty thing. Like, here you go. I'm done with it. I'm like, looking at him, like, just set it on the floor, you dick. God, my dad's a dick.
He wanted you to go get a refill.
Yeah, go get this refill, Johnny. Smoke up, Johnny. Dad, you're an asshole. Well, so anyway, next time he goes, what was the movie that came out after that? Like a weekend? I don't remember what it was. Like maybe it was Man of Steel? No, Man of Steel was before that. Let's just say it was Wolverine. When are you going to go see Wolverine, Jason? And I go, I've never seen it with you. And he was like,
popcorn thief?
Well, why? And go, you ate all the popcorn. Steven said I could. Steven was being courteous, Dad. You ate all of his popcorn. He would have shared it with me.
And by proxy, my popcorn. Asshole. Yeah.
And I said, next time, if I go to a movie with you, you're buying me a large popcorn, and you're not going to eat any of it. You're just buying it for me. And what was it we saw? And then Laura showed up at the theater, and oh, no, I'm totally getting the movies wrong. We saw Fast Furious 6, and yes, then it was at World War Z, where he goes, well, I'm going to sit over here. I don't think Jason wants to sit next to me. And I was like, good!
What in the world?
And Laura sat there. And I was like, I got my own popcorn, bitch. Yeah. So anyway, I love my dad.
Wait, you called your sister a bitch?
No, my dad.
Oh,
I was telling my dad, I got my own popcorn, bitch. But of course, I love my dad, guys.
Science, yo.
Happy birthday, Dad. It's not my dad's birthday. I don't know what it is.
Bring your dad a kite.
Okay. Well, guys, you want to do entertainment?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's talk about Wolverine or something. Woo!
Entertainment.
All right, Bill, there's a certain movie you finally got to see yesterday, right?
Yeah, I only put it off long enough.
Wolverine, snickety, snickety, snoring.
Now, during the movie, at any time, did you hear that in your head?
Yes, I did. I you can't avoid it at this point.
I love that scene that's in the intro. That was one of my favorite scenes in the movie with the... The whole throw the guy off the
balcony.
Oh,
whenever he goes to Mariko's fiance.
Yeah. And the guy's there with two.
He's got the two really hot American girls.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of Wolverine? I had a really good time with it.
I had a fantastic time with it. I thought it, at times it was unsettling and it was really.
That opening,
but also the scene of him. Just building the character of him kind of being the mountain man, kind of staying away from everyone, just drinking his pain away. And even, like, that little moment with the bear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just, it was little moments like that spread throughout the film that I just, it kind of endeared it to me. But, yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I have to go into Columbus tomorrow afternoon, so I'm going to go see it at the IMAX just to see it again.
Oh, nice. Is it still in the IMAX?
Yeah.
You know what I liked about it in a lot of ways? Because the previous Wolverine movies, like there was X-Men, X2, X3, Wolverine Origins, it's always been Logan who can't remember anything.
Yeah.
Now this is a different Logan who does know everything about himself and he wants to just forget it.
But that was also overly quippy Logan. Like, mm-hmm. Because there were so many characters squeezed into those movies.
Yeah.
That he didn't have a time. His character didn't have time to develop. And even in X-Men Origins Wolverine, it wasn't even so much his character as just the circumstances.
You're a dick.
Like, the entire movie was set around set pieces.
Right.
And not character moments.
So what I like
this movie was all about the character.
Yeah, they decided, let's do a character piece on Logan. And it's just about him. We don't have to worry about... None of it was, like, earth-threatening, you know? Nope. It just took place in Japan. And it was a self-contained story, pretty much, which I thought was cool. And I like that Wolverine is wounded... you know, I guess internally, but also throughout the movie, he's vulnerable. It was interesting to have a vulnerable Wolverine, too.
Yeah, those dreams he kept having of, you know, his psyche was screwing with him so much.
Yeah,
like with the Jean Grey dreams and then, you know, the killing her in his dream. And then just the way it was, his psyche was taunting him. Every time he would fall asleep, it's like he wasn't allowing himself... For any form of forgiveness.
Yeah, who wouldn't give himself a break at all?
So he would even torture his mind in his sleep. That was really crazy. It was and those dreams were unsettling. Even in that final moment with his last dream of Jeanie, it was still wouldn't let up.
Right.
It was almost like you're supposed to die. You need like it was. It was. I found it really unsettling at times. It was something I appreciated out of a Wolverine movie, finally.
But I like how he finally kind of like is like, you know what? You were hurting people.
I had no choice.
I had to do what I had to do. He like forgives himself and spoiler alert to everyone.
Well, it's been, I think most people, it's not really that big of a spoiler.
No, not at all. That's what it's about. The movie's about Wolverine forgiving himself, basically, and then he can roll on into that ensemble X-Men where he'll kind of just be... What I think is interesting is his character goes through a lot, and I know in the comics, like, he lost his claws in the comics, and he just has those bone claws again. How did that work? Does that disappoint you guys at all, or do you not care? Is that still pretty cool?
Well, even when it happened, I was like, oh, no, are they going to be able to, like, maybe they'll use that blade to reattach them.
And yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh,
that's what we were thinking.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to use the heat blade to reattach
and
the
And I knew the bone ones would grow
like,
back because it's part of his anatomy, but it's just still weird.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen with that as they move forward. Like, is in the days of future past, is he going to have the adamantium back? Is it going to...
Yeah, I mean, I know he still has the skeleton, he just doesn't have the claw part, but I don't think he ever liked him anyway.
Ever liked having him,
so he may not want him back. He's like,
they
I'll stick hard to
him anyways.
Yeah, I mean, they came in handy, though, didn't they?
A lot, yeah.
You know what I really loved? I love that funeral, whole fight scene that led to the chase and then led to the subway.
That was insane. I was shocked at how quick that moved. Like, there was hardly any, like, break in that action. It was just tiny moments of levity and then boom, 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 right into the next scene.
And I really liked the ninja archer who was following them and shooting dudes from the rooftops. That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
That
like,
was.
They'd show, like, the faraway shots where dude would go, and just kind of fall down. And that's what's great is Logan, he dismisses himself to go to the restroom, and then he goes through this action scene. I love when he comes back, and he's all sweaty, and he's like, all right, we got to go. And she's like, what happened to you? That was pretty funny. They worked in some humor here and there, you know?
Yeah, there were some really great moments, really, really funny moments.
And it was really great how they would work in. He would drop, like, an F-bomb, and it would, you know, it's not throughout the whole movie, so when he does drop an F-bomb, finally, it has impact, and you're like...
It's a great moment, too. That whole scene of him walking through that village, all the ninjas on the roofs, and that was beautiful. I could think of was Yojimbo, the Kurosawa film, and it just looked gorgeous the way it was shot.
And you know what's funny is Heather saw the commercial and she goes, that looks like the graphic novel I read a long time ago when I was a kid. And she was talking about it was written by Chris Claremont and it was drawn by Frank Miller where he goes to Japan. And I go, I think a lot of movies based on that. And she's like, oh, that's so cool. I was like, you'll probably dig it because it's about him.
Did she get to go see it?
No, it just kind of happened where Steven and I went. Lately, things are too complicated on weekends, it seems like. Or it's just like, you just go. And I'm like, okay. Her parents are like remodeling their house and stuff.
It'll hang around for a while, I think.
Yeah, but, or, you know, we'll get it on Blu-ray, you know. But sure. I was pleased with it. There, I didn't have any of those moments like the first maybe where it's just like, oh, my eyes.
I had no groan moments. All the special effects were rather well done. I think the train scene plays much better on the big screen.
Yeah, it really does.
Than it does on like YouTube. Because when I saw just bits of that on YouTube, I was like, oh, no.
You know what's the best part is when he tricks the guy to jump.
Yes. Yes.
He's like, okay, I love that. And
also, it was kind of like when I watched that scene, I was like, this is kind of the epitome of a comic book scene, like based in kind of a reality, but an unreality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, just the physics of it and everything is impossible, but it's just this extraordinary scene put in a movie about a guy trying to find himself again.
And
it worked so well.
And Wolverine's used to being invincible. He doesn't, like, usually if he gets stabbed or shot, it's no big deal. But
yeah,
now he's just like, whoa, what the hell is this? This is a new sensation.
Yeah.
I'm in a lot of pain here. I really enjoyed the action scenes. And like I was telling you, I would love a unrated.
That was my biggest hang up because in that, even at that funeral where he is just slicing, dicing,
he's stabbing dudes.
Yeah, and there's not a single shot of blood they're even very judicious about the stabbings.
Right. And you and I were talking
And even in shadow, like, you don't see the blades pierce.
Yeah.
You hear it, but you don't see anything.
And you hear the guys like, oh, like that.
Yeah.
But, like, we were talking about how does something like Hannibal air on primetime television, and that's not any rating. It's, like, for mature audiences or whatever. But then you have this, and I know they know little kids are going to go see this because of Wolverine, but it is a more mature movie.
It is.
Do you think a kid is probably bored out of his mind in that movie until the robot samurai shows up? And he's like,
train scene.
I'm sure a little kid dug that. And
this is not a movie for kids.
Yeah, it's not. So I'd say go ahead and make it completely mature film. Make it rated R. Have some.
I would love a rated R Wolverine film. I would kill for that. Honestly,
I would kick ass. And you know. Say what you will about the last Wolverine. Hugh Jackman's always giving it his all.
He is.
As Wolverine, you know?
Yep. He channels some of the best, like, Clint Eastwood moments. I mean, it's just, it was amazing to me that when I was driving home, I was like thinking of all the film influences in my mind. And then when I get home, I find the article and it points out Outlaw Josie Wales, which was one of those films in my head that I'm driving home going, wow, this really kind of is that movie in certain ways.
Yeah,
and
I
then
love that.
Hugh Jackman had never seen it.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And I was like, what? So I guess maybe him seeing it then even enhanced it even more, the way he portrayed the character in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I loved all the little touches. I think the word that keeps springing to mind for me is reverence. Just the respect that was paid to the topic, the culture, everything about the film, just it worked. I thought
that's the one
I was
thing
really scared that Mangold was attached to it, but he's got enough respect for the material that it was great.
Sometimes
it was really impressive.
We forget about something like this, which is when a director is announced for something like James Mangold for Wolverine, we're thinking, aw, he can't do a comic book action movie. But we forget what he brings to it as a great eye, something
different than
visually nice to look at. He's
an
got that
eye and a knowledge
for
of,
cinematography.
Of film.
Like, if you look at something like X-Men and Origins Wolverine, the thing looked like shit, right?
Yeah, but it was.
This movie,
I think that was its biggest problem, is that it looked like shit. Everything about it was subpar. It's like I was joking around with Mike Chinstroker, Mike, on Twitter, that you would honestly go into that movie thinking, did the Asylum make this? I mean, that's how bad the CGI is in the Wolverine, especially that final scene with Deadpool.
But that's yeah, that was awful. It looked like Mortal Kombat video game screen or something.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember when I first saw the trailer to the Wolverine, I was like, this actually, it looks photographed beautifully. And that's what it has going for it right off, you know.
And a competent script that, although, you know, a lot of people were complaining about the third act being just kind of the typical let's fight two villains kind of thing. But in a way, it was really kind of the only resolution you could have, and that bringing Wolverine back to who he is.
Right.
So I didn't mind it at all. I thought it worked, and I liked the little twists that we all saw coming. I mean, if you didn't figure out who that was or why, I mean, there were clues dropped throughout the movie.
Yeah. That was.
But I mean, still, it just, I thought it worked.
I did too. I enjoyed it a lot.
I'm looking forward to seeing it again tomorrow, and I will definitely be buying the Blu-ray.
And when will you be seeing Smurfs 2, Bill?
Probably right after. I got to rush right in there. You know, I'm a sucker for Hank Azaria as Gargamel.
Good Lord, man. What about Two Guns? You ready to see that?
I have heard a lot of good stuff about it.
It's got Bill Paxton as a bad guy. How bad could it be, right?
Oh, Bill Paxton's in it? I'll go there.
Yeah, he's the... I think he's the bad guy. He might be just in it, but he looks like he plays a bad guy.
I've heard that...
So let me in the freaking house!
I heard that the action scenes are very well choreographed and shot.
Who directed it?
Some guy named Baltazar Cormacur?
Cormacur? It was a firefight!
Yeah, no. Now, I'm not familiar with him, but he's an Icelandic dude.
Gentleman, Icelandic. So the next movies we have to see are Elysium and...
cannot wait.
Elysium and World's End.
Elysium, World's End, and when does Riddick come out?
Riddick.
Because Riddick, sure. I will be going was to see October in IMAX.
That doesn't come out until October, does it? Something like that?
So. Oh, is it October? Damn it.
I think it's going to be a while. Don't quote me on that, though.
Son of a bitch. You know what looked... if I was 13 years old, I'd be all over that Percy Jackson Sea of Monsters movie. Because the trailer, I was like, that looks kind of cool for a kid.
Yeah, it's a good kid's movie. Is that like, where the next Harry Potter? I'm not familiar with the book, so...
Well, I think there was one already. I think I'm assuming he's Perseus, but it's just kind of an updated kind of a thing.
Yeah, Percy Jackson and the Lightning
Thief. Oh, he's like Perseus, but they call him Percy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
I assume that's what it is. It's kind of a play on the whole Greek thing.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I didn't know
for kids, a young adult thing.
Well, guys, what do you say we get into what's on our TiVos? How cool would that be?
can we actually take a pee break before we do that?
Sure.
Is it too early?
It is a little early, but
sorry. I didn't go before I went. I'm sorry.
Let's just play the TiVo music. That's so funny. Don't worry about it.
I gotta go bad.
Oh, you gotta go? Okay, Bill, we'll see you on the other side.
Whoops.
September 6th, it comes out. Chronicles of Riddick. It's just called Riddick. There was Pitch Black, Chronicles of Riddick, and now Riddick. We'll just wait for Bill to get back.
Whoops.
Oh, I missed there. Yeah, that's not good there. Gotta, you know. Stuff like that. I know what we'll do. Before Bill gets back, we will listen to a song. Okay, Steven?
Okay.
You know, what if Bill thinks we're playing the break? He's not going to come back for like 10 minutes. Do you think he thinks that?
I don't know.
driving you through. You know it's hard. Most of the time, you walk by faith.
To hear the guitar solo, Bill.
Oh, okay, keep going.
Oh, wait, maybe I was wrong. All right, Bill, welcome back. What do you guys say we get into What's on our TiVo? All right, guys, we are back to talk about Cake Boss. And the reason being is that I feel bad that... we haven't talked about old Buddy in a while.
I hope you had a hell of a piss, Arnold.
Excuse me?
No, Buddy, not Arnold.
What was funny about... I actually enjoy Cake Boss when everyone doubts Buddy and he starts getting mad. Because on this episode, they go onto a submarine because Buddy's supposed to do a big cake for people in the Navy.
In the Navy.
He calls them submariners. The submariners having a ball. What's funny is Buddy wants to do... He doesn't want it just to be a submarine cake on top of, like, black, where it's like they're deep in the ocean. He goes, I want colorful coral and sea life. And they're like, well, Buddy, that's not very, like, you know, macho for dudes, you know, in the Navy.
They don't You're making want to a Navy cake, Buddy, not some fish tank cake.
Yeah, they don't want these bright colors. And even Ralph, who is like Buddy's right-hand guy doing everything, goes, I don't like it. It's not a good idea. But is Buddy going to listen to him? Hell no! He's going to do it his way. And listen to this clip for if Buddy says any words wrong. I don't know if I just
or
said
how many
a
he says wrong.
Well-structured yeah. sentence there, but yeah. Let's check this out. What'd you say, Steven?
I said how many words he says wrong.
Right. How dare you, Steven? Let's check this out.
Today I get a call from the Navy, and they invite me up to the submarine base up in Connecticut. They're having a big ball, and they want me to make a giant cake to help them celebrate their birthday. I don't get claustrophobic, so I'm not too worried about being a submarine.
Say the that birthday word right. cake is the centerpiece, so...
Well, we'll be honored to do that. Probably do something with the sub. It would have some moving parts on it. I mean, you've been on a submarine, so you know what the boat... Should we call it a boat?
It's a boat.
All right,
a boat.
All right, good. Some people are very touchy about that. You know, it's a ship or a boat, you know?
No, there's boats and targets.
You know, just making it cool submarine is okay, but yeah. I want it to feel like it's in the ocean and have like an ocean floor, so I want it to look
laughter.
Rocky and have some sand on it. Kind of like a mix of what's on the ocean floor or what my vision of what the ocean looks like. If this is bright and then that's black, it'll pop off it. This actually...
Bright coral.
Hey, Red. Yeah, why not? I think it's going to make it a little more...
The only thing, you don't really see bright coral at the depth that a submarine is at, right?
Holy, I mean, you know, this guy, of course, I'm going to punch you in the mouth.
Buddy.
What is this, an oceanography class here?
I'm going to put some NTIs in there from the abyss.
Do it rocks.
Like canyons?
It's boring. So I'm just going to do a black sub on a black ocean floor or brown? I mean, come on, it's a cake. It's got to be fun.
Submarine cake. I don't get it.
You know, it's the bottom of the ocean. Don't get dirty. What's in the ocean?
Pretty bright.
I want it to be bright. I want it to pop. Everybody coming in and telling me what we're going to do in this cake is really getting annoying.
At the end of the day,
it's
mad.
Cake. It's not real. You know, there's things that you make that really have to be exactly the way it is in real life. This bottom of the ocean floor is kind of like a fantasy. And I don't really care what anybody thinks.
Going to go to a bunch of really tough Navy guys.
You know,
I didn't know Buddy
Paul
had
to tell me that the Navy guys even think that it's cheesy.
I'm telling you, these guys are going to love it because it's going to make the cake pop more.
Are you going to do like the bright little
Let us
color?
Finish it. Let us finish it. I'll hit it with the airbrush a little bit more.
I don't think that's going to do it, man. I think it's going to be goofy.
No, we'll put some rocks in there too.
I don't like it, man.
It'll be fun.
Better watch out, it'll be fun.
I don't agree with Buddy's concept of the coral. I was on a submarine. Granted, there's no windows, so you can't see. But there's no coral, you know, 800-900 feet under the water. It's all canyons. It's dirt. It's dark.
You guys stop worrying.
I'm not worrying.
You all worry.
It's not a worry. It's a dislike.
No, he said there's no tomorrow.
You get to appreciate under the sea while you're in the submarine?
You don't. But in a realistic point of view, I do agree with Will.
When you're on the submarine, do you disagree with the captain? So you follow orders, right?
Exactly.
You can't appreciate oceanography like my cousin. He's Jacques Cousteau.
Now, see, you just had to hit it.
What is the plan?
Ralph was very scared. The bottom of the ocean, baby. So maybe in my world, my fantasy bottom of the ocean, it's colorful and pretty. What am I, the Grim Reaper for that? What am I, a jerk? Because it was a black submarine,
yes,
with the bottom being very colorful, it made the cake pop. I think it looks good.
Are you happy with the color?
Not really. We're going to disagree on this one.
Danny Elfman scoring this all of a sudden?
I think it looks awesome.
I love that Ralph is like, he goes, so you like it, Ralph? And he's like, no, not really. You know what was really
honest.
Pathetic on the cake is it's a submarine, right? They put a little fan on the tail end where it's like,
oh my God, that looked terrible.
It's like, and then they're like, look, the periscope, this tiny little thing goes, it's like, yeah, that's really great, buddy.
Yeah, it was not a good cake.
You know what I actually thought of that would be totally in Buddy's wheelhouse and be cheesy as hell? I would have put a bubble machine inside.
Oh, God, yeah.
He totally would have done something cheesy like that. I'm surprised he didn't do it.
He should have had one of those old scuba divers that you would put baking soda in.
Yeah. Totally, that would be cool. But, yeah, so that was a lame-ass episode. So, anyway, let's talk about Big Brother, Bill. I just want to check in with this because I have this clip here, and it's my favorite thing to hate on Big Brother because you're all locked up in a house, and yes, this certain scenario always happens, and it's so stupid, which is, okay, say that you, Steven, and I, and Adam are in the Big Brother house or something like that, okay?
Okay.
Well, Bill, you and I are actually in a secret alliance, and we're planning on getting Steven or Adam out as soon as we can. We just have to wait till we're in power, right?
Yes.
Well, so you and I are like, okay, you know, we're in the other room, and we're like, so, yeah, we got to figure out when we're going to get Steven out and stuff. So, anyway, Helen's in there folding her laundry while you and I are talking. So, Steven and I, when we talk, he goes, so, who do you think we should get rid of Bill next? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Which, actually, I don't agree with him, because I'm going after him, but I'm not going to say that to Steven, right? So, what did somebody do? They go straight to you, Bill, and they go,
yes.
Jason and Steven were talking, and they're talking about getting you out first. And you're like, what?
Because that son of a bitch.
I'm in a secret alliance with Jason. Why is he telling Steven that he's going after me? Wouldn't you think that because he can't tell him otherwise? So
no, that's not how that works.
So what you do is go, family meeting, everyone. Everyone get together because Jason, he's lying. He's lying to everybody. He said he was going after Steven. He's really coming after me.
I think that's the one thing that annoys me the most anytime. And it happens every year. There's always one person that has to call house meetings.
Yeah, and confront like everybody.
We got to call a house meeting because putting everybody in the same room to discuss one matter is going to clear everything up.
They always act like, you know, you're the liar and we never lie. But you do as soon as you talk to somebody.
Yeah.
That you're like, hey, are you guys coming after me? No, that's cool. And, of course, you are going after them, but you're not going to tell them.
Right.
No, it's lying. You do it in the game.
It's all a stupid game.
This is not a game that calling house meetings is going to fix anything or make any lies less lie-filled. I mean, just
basically
it's so stupid.
Okay, in the house right now, Amanda and McCray are like a couple, but Amanda thinks she's controlling everyone. Everyone is her puppet.
Amanda's an idiot, honestly. I like Amanda, but she is an idiot. She's just way in over her head, and McCray knows he can't control her.
He can't control her. It's almost like if you survive long enough, you think that you're a badass or something.
Yeah.
And you even start to threaten people. Okay, you want to come after me, just to let you know you're in my crosshairs and you're probably going home. And it's just like, shut up, okay?
Yeah.
So Howard, the black dude, he was nominated this week. And Spencer wants to keep Howard, so he wants to get rid of Amanda, right?
Yeah, and well, Spencer is becoming a massive douchebag.
Right. Well, he tells Candace, I don't want to go after you. I'm going to go get rid of Amanda because he wants to keep Howard. So Amanda comes to Spencer in this clip and says, do you want to get rid of me? He's like, no. I'm going after Candace. So Helen overhears this. She goes to Candace, goes, Spencer's trying to get rid of you. And she's like, what? And she goes and announces for the whole. It's just so stupid how, like, you would think where he's obviously has to say that if someone confronts him. It's funny. Yeah. Well, let's check this out.
Instead of Candace, like, using her head and going to Howard, it's like, oh, house meeting.
Yeah, she makes herself into a fool. Would anyone trust to talk to her again after this?
No.
She's stupid. Let's check this out.
I know what you think that you're doing.
I like that music.
And you're just making yourself more of a target. I know what's going on.
What is going on?
I know you think you have the numbers to get me out of the house.
No, I don't think that.
Don't lie to me.
I don't think that. I don't.
So there's no plan in order to get me out of the house.
Not that I'm aware of. I would like, if I was going to rally numbers, I would be Candace out. If I could have my wish, Candace would go home.
Of course I'm trying to get Amanda out of here, but I've got to maintain plausible deniability, and I'm not about to kiss her ass. I'm not going to get intimidated by her. You know, I'm not her little boy.
If you don't want to go against Howard, I understand. But don't go against me, because that's going to hurt you. I am confident in the fact that I do have the numbers to stay here, even if you think that you have the numbers to get me out. I am confident.
I don't think I've got the numbers to get you out, Amanda.
If you stop the plan that you're doing and you do change it maybe to Candace, then a lot of the people in this house won't look at you as the main target. I can help you.
I don't really give it, Amanda.
I thought we had a secret alliance.
Throwing you under the bus.
Well, I don't. You try to like threaten people and you try to act like you're this badass. But I'm not some punk bitch that's going to kiss your ass. I know that you're the reason that I'm up on the block this week, or was up on the block. I know that you're part of the reason that Howard is
a...
Shut up, Amanda. I know that Howard is going
to
listen to you, and that is such a chicken way out, as if anybody disagrees, you're going to call him a bully. That is just the dumbest thing I've
ever
heard.
You just told me to shut up? Who tells a woman to shut up?
I do, when you need to listen. I know that you think that you're all wise and all-knowing, but that is not the case.
I'm going home, so don't worry about it,
it's pathetic. You know who I went out, so let's just leave with that and get to Thursday.
Hey, you guys, I just want to call a house meeting for like 5 minutes, so if everybody can sit over here, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay.
We do mind. Sorry. See you later. No house meeting.
I'm busy.
House meetings always go really well.
Okay, you know, I woke up this morning and I'm bombarded by people telling me that Spencer is telling everyone that he wants Howie to stay and you want me to leave. You come to me and you tell me that you want to rile an army to get Amanda to go.
No, I wasn't campaigning against you. I said my personal preference would be for Howard to stay.
Because last night you said you were rallying an army to get her out. You told me that she wished that she choked on her saliva.
That's not what I said at all.
And her boob would pop out and she would die and she used
to pray.
And all of this stuff that you were saying.
That's not what it all happened, Candace.
Being a liar.
You're paraphrasing. Come on.
I would like for Howard to stay and you to go. Absolutely.
I mean to be paraphrasing.
When I first told Amanda that Candace was my target this week, it was a total lie. It was really just to keep her off my trail. But after Candace's public meltdown like this, she's getting a target on her back, and, you know, she really might be the one going
home
this week.
Shirt off.
I really need for you
Candace,
to stop
you are trying to make me look really bad.
Oh, I don't have have to try, honey. Everyone knows the true
fine.
Spencer.
That is
so
fine.
So I wish the real Spencer would please stand up.
The real Spencer is here.
Keep my name out your mouth. You have lied and you have schemed and everybody sees who you are.
I love when these things happen. The
You're
rest of the house
next
gets
week, so help me, God. If
yeah,
I have anything to
kind
do
of observing
with it, thank you.
The
meeting is adjourned.
My favorite is to watch somebody like Judd just in the background, kind of like making a sandwich as two people are arguing, you know?
Judd and McCray are probably my two favorite in the house because they're the only ones that actually think before they speak.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, I love yeah. it. She's like, you just lie and you scheme. And I'm like, wait, what game are you playing?
Everyone in this house goes into the other room and is like, hey, that's such a. Well, that's what you're scheming right there. Yeah.
Welcome to Big Brother,
you know,
Dingfat.
I will turn on the feeds every once in a while, but as soon as someone's like, yeah, so-and-so, you know what they said? And they start talking, and then they go, yeah, well. And somebody else walks in the room and like, hey, did you hear this? And they tell the story over again.
Yeah.
And then somebody yep. else shows up.
Yeah, I think Dingo on hamsterwatch.com calls those the retells.
Yeah.
And that always cracks me up.
Over and over. They'll even retell that story when Candace and Spencer were fighting. It's like, we were all there. You don't have to retell the story.
They have nothing to do.
We don't have a TV, so let's go ahead and tell that again.
Let's sit around and just tell the same story over and over again. So it'll be like we're there again.
What we'll do is we'll convince him to put Steven up. But we'll tell Steven we had no idea what was going on. What would we protect if he gets HOH or something next week?
House meeting!
Wait a second!
Meeting. Bill's calling a house meeting.
So you threw me under the bus. Why can't they get rid of that saying?
Well, it's, yeah, that one, what
Where's
else
is
there?
Where's this mythical bus at, anyway?
I haven't heard floaters much this year, actually.
Yeah, you're
so that's
a floater.
That's something.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, a phoenix is like a mythical bird.
Oh, okay. Well, guys, let's take a break, and we'll be back and talk about MasterChef. What do you say? Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, guys, we'll be right back.
Easy slick, Stevens relaxing.
Doctor, my belly aches.
You've got butterflies in your stomach.
You got a tummy horse.
Operation.
A broken heart, of course.
Operation.
The whitest time is true.
Operation.
And I'm the doctor for you.
Operation. Remove the pieces and collect your fee, but don't touch the sides.
Water on the knee.
Operation.
$1,000 fee.
Operation.
A fair rib or two.
Operation.
I'm the doctor for you.
Next, please.
Operation. From Milton Bradley.
Aboard.
It's the Tooneyville choo-choo. Just drop a record disc in back of the engine and send it on its way. It moves and plays records when you put in the batteries you buy. You play with the Tooneyville choo-choo, and it plays 11 of your favorite tunes. It's the little train that delivers music to all stations. The Tooneyville choo-choo with four sturdy record discs that play 11 tunes by Tomy.
There's something in the air that says great times are coming your way.
There's a celebration all across the nation. Now is the time. ABC is the place. All your favorite places, lots of friendly faces. Now is the time. ABC is the place. It's all right here. People, you know your favorite shows. It's all right here. Sports and laughter. Now is the time.
choice is clear now that Norelco's here. Frosted Soft White Three-Way or Long Life. Look for them in this nifty clear package.
Life Gold, Norelco Life Gold. It's good to say such quality.
I've got some bad news for the makers of Clearasil.
Me.
Oxy Wash with 10% benzoyl peroxide works 78% better against acne than Clearasil Cleanser.
78%?
Oxy Wash also washes the socks off Noxzema, Stridex medicated pads.
Even my mother's favorite, soap.
So don't learn from your own mistakes. Wash with Oxy Wash. This time, the results will be written all over your face.
It's heading up. It's dropping down. Can he hook it? Too bad. Try again, champ. Steady, steady. It just takes a little practice. Got it! That's hook it. You can huff and puff, but it really takes skill to get that little ball just right and hooked onto that loop. Can you hook it? Hey, you'll never know until you try. But you gotta play fair. Hook it. Try it.
Jenny made this birthday decoration with her glow-in-the-dark Shrinky Dinks. All she did was trace, color, and cut. Then Mom popped it into the oven, and in just minutes...
Wow, look at it shrink!
It shrunk and cooled into a hard plastic Shrinky Dink that glows in the dark.
Happy birthday, Mom!
Jenny can make just about anything she can trace, and there are other Shrinky Dink sets available too, each sold separately. The glow-in-the-dark Shrinky Dinks comes with everything you see here.
It's color forms.
The fun of hook, line, and sinker. It's when you sink your sinker, you can pull a fish to win. Or catch a bunch of junk, but then you're in the real clinker. You might catch a real stinker. If you catch the skunk, you catch that snail. Scratch and sniff, you can tell. That hook, line, and sinker. A game that really stinks.
Hook, line, and sinker comes with magnetic sinkers plus everything else you see here. Some assembly required.
You heard what happened to chocolate? Now chocolate's got a whisper of mint.
Rules!
From the makers of M&M's candies.
Mmm, mint!
But just a whisper.
Oh, have you heard what happened to chocolate?
Now chocolate's got a whisper of mint.
Chocolate's got a lot more exciting. Since it got a little whisper of mint.
Royal's Mint Chocolates. Chocolates with a whisper of mint.
Chapstick!
Who's this? Jesse James?
Dr. Chapstick, don't you know about the sun? It could burn your lips up and do a lot of damage.
Hey, I know about the sun. Do you know about Chapstick Sunblock 15?
I know Chapstick. What's Sunblock 15 do?
Like the name says, it blocks out the sun. Blocks it all out. Unmask, partner. Have a Sunblock 15.
New Chapstick Sunblock 15 Lip Balm. Blocks out the sun.
Blocks it all out.
No matter how you get to Photomat, get to Photomat. Because right now we're having a free film special. Just bring in any roll of color print film for developing and get a replacement roll of Photomat film free. But better hurry. Word travels fast.
Can I borrow your AIM?
It's AIM Mint.
Mint flavored, huh?
Pretty fancy. Does it fight cavities? My dears, this is serious toothpaste, see?
Clinically proven to reduce cavities.
Hurry, girls.
Oh, Jane, Jack Reed is waiting for you.
Jack Reed. Rah, rah, rah. Oh.
Introducing new AIM Mint.
A little something happens when I grab that stick.
I remember when, little sister, you were 2, I was 10. Baby sister, you tried desperately for attention from me. Would you settle for a french fry? for now. Little baby sister of mine.
You grew up together, McDonald's and you, and you grew, and you grew, and you grew.
You were just a me too, tag along, tomboy making a scene. Then I turned around and found her.
Hey, you got your chocolate in my peanut butter.
You got peanut butter on my chocolate.
What?
What?
Delicious.
Two great tastes that taste great together. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Real milk chocolate, delicious peanut butter.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
And Reese's Crunchy Peanut Butter Cups, topped with chopped peanuts.
I got it!
Wow!
Introducing the G.I. Joe USS Flag Aircraft Carrier. Imagine being on the deck of this aircraft carrier.
The USS Flag is fantastic! It's so big! Oh, my God!
G.I. Joe USS Flag Aircraft Carrier comes with what you see here. Other figures and equipment sold separately from Hasbro.
Shopping makes me hungry, love a lot, Bear.
Birthday cake, my favorite.
Introducing Care Bear Wear for 13-inch Care Bears. Outfits and bears sold separately.
Time to get dressed, love a lot, Bear. Right, birthday bear. How about a Care Bear outfit?
Thanks, but this play for romp is great.
I see, but...
Or the sunny swimwear.
They're both neat, but I'm already dressed.
In what?
My birthday suit.
Only Care Bear Wear has tummy holes in the Care Bear heart. Outfits and bears sold separately. You from Care.
Yes,
we're having some fun.
So good to be back. I say,
oh gosh, goodness gracious me.
Oh, my God. Hold on, little girl. The
don't pay any attention to her foolishness.
Creepy parents, huh? I love in that clip from the Super Friends, she's like, it's my parents. And for some reason, Apache Chief says, who? Like, her parents.
I have never heard of parents. Only Chief.
What are the parents? Enoch-chalk.
Enoch-chalk.
Is there a lamer super friend than Apache Chief, this friggin' big Indian dude? You turn into a giant. It was so funny when you sent me the clip to that Space Ghost. What is it? The
Harvey Birdman.
No, Harvey Birdman. Attorney at Law. Where? That's so funny. It's good stuff.
Yes, there's a. There's an asteroid. It opens with an asteroid coming. Hurling toward Earth, and everyone's like, oh no, if only we had a super friend. It's like, I am a super friend.
Yeah.
And Nuk-chuk just rips the phone pole out of the ground, hits the asteroid back, and it destroys another civilization.
Yeah. And I love he goes into the place to order coffee, and they're like, sorry, man, we lost all of our powers. Because he ripped out the telephone pole.
The entire episode he spills the hot coffee on himself, on his manhood, actually, and he loses the ability to grow giant. So he's suing the coffee place.
Who are your parents? I love this. Listen, I always thought this was funny because the Wonder Twins would transform to something. And Zan, the dude, was always so lame.
Formal, an Exorian eagle!
Shape of an ice basket!
Ice basket. Wow, lame!
What did, was it Jaina? Jana?
Yeah, Zan and Jaina.
What did she change into?
A something, what?
Ice. Formal, an Exorian eagle!
An Exorian eagle? What?
What the hell is an Exorian eagle?
I have no idea.
Is that like an extraordinary... I don't get it.
Is that you?
Exorient... an elaborate, extraordinary eagle?
Form of a pretty eagle! Woo! Form of a lame-ass basket.
Ice basket.
Form of an ice basket. All right, let's talk about MasterChef, Bill.
Okay.
At the beginning of this clip, it's one of those things where they lift up the giant mystery box, and it's everyone's family members.
Yay.
Except for one person.
Oh, no.
You know, I don't like Chrissy at all, but how sad was that?
That was pretty bad.
Why is everyone's family member here? Where's my son?
And you're all racist.
Gordon's like, sorry. Oh, wait, Gordon doesn't talk like that. He's like, sorry, couldn't be here.
Sorry.
Let's go ahead and make this clip. Let's go ahead and play this clip, Jason, and see how well they do making stuff called sushi. I want to ask you this, Bill, because I have no idea. Do you enjoy sushi?
Sometimes, yeah.
What kind of stuff you like?
I like spicy tuna rolls. I like...
You like it?
I like the tuna. I like eel.
I know Heather likes the, what are they called, Steven, that she always gets? Like the Philly roll? Something where I like it, the Philadelphia roll. And I'm like, what? How is that sushi? But
well, that's not sushi. That's, it's sushi-like.
It's the cucumber stuff fake. Rolled up.
Yeah, it's like, I think there's fake crab and cream cheese in it, right?
I don't know. I don't.
Or no, it's smoked salmon. It's smoked salmon and cream cheese and cucumber.
She likes that. Plus, she likes some other stuff I don't know the names of. But she'll go, try this. It's really good. And I'll try it. And I'm not being a snob or anything. It's just not something that I'm like, you know.
Well, it's fishy. I mean, you've got the seaweed and you've got the chewy rice. And
but also, she likes spicy stuff. And I know you do. Too, Steven. I'm not into spicy stuff.
Do you put, like, does she smear the wasabi and soy sauce on it?
Wasabi. I have no idea. Something like that.
The little green paste and mix it with
Or like pickled ginger on top of it.
I think it's just like you have all this neat stuff you can dip your food in, and that's
It's choices. I like it. It's I can't really tolerate it as well anymore because of the starch, because of the rice.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll get it sometimes whenever I go to, like, there's a place down the road from here, Yummy Yummy. It's a Chinese-Japanese restaurant, and they have, like, a sushi bar, and every once in a while I'll get something. But normally I stick to, like, the eel and the spicy tuna. And
Yummy Yummy, I've got raw fish in my tummy.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Well, let's check this out and hear Chrissy cry.
Okay, are you ready for your next mystery box challenge?
Yeah, so the box starts going up, and I see a bunch of feet. I really hope it's not contestants. I want people to keep going home. I don't want more people to come back.
Oh, my God!
What?
Are you
kidding? Oh, my God, they're murdered. There's blood everywhere.
It's my wife. God.
That's right. Your families have flown in from all across America. All of you have been away from
your arms tired
for months on end. We thought they really you could enjoy an extra level of encouragement.
No, that sounds extreme.
The most to you all. All these people standing in front of you are so proud.
All these moments one of you will be getting gone in this time, far. Like tears in the rain.
I don't see anybody for me. Why is everybody's family here except for Mayan?
Your
Chrissy,
son
the
is
one
dead.
Person who wants to be here right now, your
my
son
God,
couldn't make
daddy.
It.
He's in an
because
ICU
he couldn't be
in
here.
A coma.
He recorded you a very special message.
Hey, Mom. I love and miss you.
Don't ever come home, Mom.
Really
this is awesome.
I really shouldn't be out there, but I have my state standardized testings that I always get.
Impossible.
You have nothing to worry about.
See?
Because
it's
the
summertime.
Whole place pretty much intact. Nothing burnt down. Nobody's dead.
Bless
him. I'm gonna see you.
I love
because
nobody's dead.
I miss your food too much.
I love you.
How cool is that? Huh? You will all have to cook a beautiful plate of Japanese classics.
Take a good look at it. We want you to match that perfectly.
So, Chrissy, what are you thinking?
Sushi is disgusting. Now I have to work with something that makes me sick. It's going to be rough. I might be going home today.
In tonight's elimination test, Luca has selected the three teams that must each create a platter of Japanese cuisine.
You should be using the back of a spoon.
Okay.
So it doesn't weigh down with your fingernails.
It's proving to be their most difficult challenge yet.
Chef, what's the white stuff in this?
Never wash uni. Never. No, come on. Jordan.
My bad, my bad.
You've only got two.
I have some of this beautiful juice stuff.
Never wash. Sea urchin.
You got it, chef.
Come on, guys.
Come on,
lift it. Let's go.
I knew that.
Okay, James and Jordan, come on down.
Who cut this?
I did.
Very nice.
Did you know that, Bill?
What, not to wash uni?
Is it your understanding that
not
Japanese
wash,
people do not use
mushrooms.
Salt in their cuisine?
Yeah, it'll suck up the liquid.
That has a grain of salt on it. I'm a monkey's uncle.
That one we did second onion salt.
And it's the same reason you didn't put any salt in the rice.
Salt. Definitely not enough.
Not even close. What happened to these shrimps? They look like...
They've seen better days.
They look like
there was some debate between us on how to cook the shrimp.
So you decided just to step on them?
Yeah, right.
They're raw.
Yeah. It's just, I'm amazed they're laughing. Because
they're
honestly, raw. I mean, if anybody remotely respectful to Japanese cuisine, giggling and laughing like two stupid teenagers, get a grip, guys. I would be embarrassed.
Oh my God.
I'm disappointed, even what I know of you guys as cooks. Certainly the two of you could have done better than this.
Gordon never likes when people laugh. He always gets upset. Even in Hell's Kitchen, if somebody smiles, they go, "Why are you smiling?" It's like, this
cooking
is
very serious.
It's some serious shit. But then if you watch one of his cooking things, like Gordon, whatever.
Yeah, it's all about being happy in the kitchen.
Yeah, he's having a good time and laughing and stuff. But it's
you
after
you have fun when you know what you're
shit.
Doing.
Yeah, yeah. Not when you're just
don't
like,
joke around when
yeah,
you're
I don't
screwing
know, man.
Up.
I really screwed up, Joe.
You're just not allowed to laugh if you're incompetent.
Do you know how quickly I'd get yelled at on the show? Because I would do my nervous like, who made that weird laugh? Come over here. You, Jason. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
I bought it at Walmart.
I bought it at Walmart.
Oh, in that case, it's fine. The most amazing Walmart laugh.
Why can't...
Listen to his chortle.
Elliot Graham Bowles. Why can't he talk... He goes, you have to prepare this stunning sushi...
William Shatner. Yeah, he's channeling Shatner.
Yeah. Spock! All right, let's check this out. It's... the football player dude, Eddie, is that his name?
Yep.
Dude.
And Jesse, who will win MasterChef if all goes right. My plan comes to fruition. Is it fruition or fruition?
Fruition.
I always thought fruition sounds. Have you ever noticed some people say fruition?
Only if they're making fruit with it.
Like they're a mathematician.
Well, you actually have to go to school to become a fruition.
They're a beauty fruition? Yeah. Something like that? I think fruiticians are...
It's, you know, like how people sculpt, like, those watermelon roses.
No, no, the people who work...
Yep, they're fruiticians.
What is that place where they put all the fruit on the sticks?
That's what he was just talking about.
Yeah. What is it called?
Fruit sticks?
Fruit basket.
the fruit baskets. Where it's like a cake, but it's like a bouquet.
Yeah. You can order those. The
bouquet?
Yeah.
Fruit, anyway, those guys are fruiticians.
Fruitician, yeah.
Okay, I was really worried that Jesse would be eliminated because that would suck.
Which one's Jesse?
Jesse's the blonde girl.
Oh, the hot yacht lady.
Hot yacht lady, yes. And she didn't know what she was doing, but Eddie really didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, Eddie was totally out of it.
And it's great, this part where Joe goes,
I eat sushi two or three times a month.
Yeah.
I don't know how to cook it.
I was like, he's full of shit. He's never eaten sushi in his life. But I like when Joe goes, will you eat this? And he's like, let's check this out. Good. That was a good setup. You got to admit, I did that pretty good. 280 shows. Nailed it. Finally.
Next up, please. Jesse and Eddie.
This is by far the hardest challenge. And walking up, I knew we were going to get chewed out.
Next week, EB&J. That's what they got to make. Perfect.
So who between the two you had the most experience with sushi?
I've made it before.
You have.
I've heard of it.
You've never made it.
I never made it, but I eat it at least twice a week.
Twice a week?
I mean, twice a day.
To have this coming out, that's kind of like part of the inside track to the actual sea urchin.
Twice.
It's not a good part.
What you're looking for to eat.
That's where all the
mercury is. Who did the fish butchery?
Yum.
I did.
You did. It's kind of torn apart. And the rice, who cooked it?
Mama cooked the rice.
It's very Mom's overpowered the with rice. The vinegar. It's a very tart rice.
I like
who
my
do
rice
feel really
tart.
Put more energy into the dish?
I honestly think that it was 50-50. 100%.
50-50.
50-50. Wait,
maybe 90%
feel the same
50-50.
Thing?
I do.
Okay. It was 100%
so
50-50.
You're saying that you guys are equally responsible for the success or failure of this
play. 80% 60-40.
Yes, and that's what you believe.
100%.
All right,
I did 5%. She did 95%.
This is gross.
But I broke a
you
sweat,
gave
though.
This uni for us three to eat. If I hand this to you right now, will you eat it?
Eat it. Eat it. Eat it.
I'm asking, will you eat it?
Eat it!
I go, hell yeah, stick it in my mouth no. And be like that, make it sour face. Like,
that's interesting.
Delicious.
I have a feeling you would throw up if you put sea urchin in your mouth.
Like all over Joe Bastianich's red sneakers.
Yeah,
like, these are collector's kicks, you son of a bitch!
I've had a bite of sea urchin before, and it is basically taking a mouthful of ocean water.
I am not going to eat anything called urchin, okay?
I know a lot of people are like, oh, it tastes, oh, caviar, oh, sea urchin. No, I just can't
do it.
Eat
the ocean, Bill. Eat an urchin.
Yeah, I just can't do it, sorry.
It seems like if an urchin could talk, he'd be like, you know, he's an urchin, you
look
know?
Look at my spine.
What does an urchin even mean?
I think they're kind of like sea hedgehogs.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat a sea hedgehog. You know what I'm saying?
You better cure that shit into bacon, then I'll eat it.
What are those one things that... And one of those F words, Gordon rappelled down the side of rocks on a cliff, and way at the bottom, under rocks that are next to the ocean, there are these things that you open. They're like...
Sea cucumber?
They're not...
No.
No, they're not mussels, but they were like a shell or a crustacean kind of a thing.
They call it like a Google claw or something.
Wait.
Do I have close to it?
Are you talking about like the clam, the things that are very phallic?
They stick on the side of rocks and you have to... People literally risk their lives to get these. And then they break them up and they go, these are delicious. And I'm like, there's no way that's delicious.
No, it's the taste. You're eating the ocean. I just I love the ocean, but I don't want to eat it. Like, I don't literally want to drink the ocean. Like, I can do oysters, like raw oysters, because they're sweet. But like a raw clam is just nasty to me. It takes every ounce of my being to eat it raw.
Yeah, that's what I've never eaten. Like when people where they crack the thing open and then they go, they do that
raw
do
you, oysters. Yeah, I've had them.
Oysters are fine because if they're good, they're sweet, and if you have to put a little lemon or even
are
some
they really good
sauce.
Though? I mean, am I better off just eating shrimp because I love shrimp?
Yes, you're better off eating shrimp because it's a texture thing. It's like you're eating a booger, like a hawker, basically.
Oh, that sounds good.
You're eating a sea hawker.
Oh,
yeah,
sea hawker.
They're kind of.
I think that's what it was called, Bill. A sea hawker.
Sea hawker.
Goodness, that's delicious.
You can fry the clam and have a po' boy with a fried clam.
Or fried oysters are really good, too. If you fry it, it'll be good. I bet you they could fry anything. Urchin. It would be delicious.
Fried urchin. All right. I want to talk about Top Chef Masters. Top Chef Masters.
Who I can't, for some reason, maybe because I don't know any of the people, I just don't care about any of the people.
I know Brian Voltaggio.
Yeah, I know Brian Voltaggio, but I just, it's like, who are these people again? I guess maybe now, at this point, they're slumming it.
You know what's funny is this week's episode is we discover, I don't know if you guys noticed, did you watch it?
No, I didn't
did
see
you,
it
Bill?
This week.
No, I didn't.
Like 10 channels.
I discovered that Brian Voltaggio has the most hilarious laugh I've ever heard. Have you ever like known somebody like just casually and then one day they laugh and you're like, what the hell is that?
Yes.
Like, what? He has one of those laughs where you'll go, what the hell just happened to the universe?
Where did that come from?
He's like this really refined chef. He seems like a nice guy or whatever. But when he laughs, it's kind of like, what the hell? It's funny. I love it. And this episode was so complicated when it opens up. The chefs all walk in and there's already a quick fire going on with their sous chefs in progress. And Curtis Stone is like, pay close attention because all the materials they use, you have to use in your quickfire. And they're all like, oh, okay. And they're like, what the hell are they using? What are they using over there? And, you know, they've got like squid and all this stuff. And they're like, oh, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? And so, and time. Okay, you guys take over and you have to make something with what they have. And they're like, what is this shit? They can't figure out what the hell they're supposed to make, right? And as a viewer, I'm like, what is going on?
You're even more confused than they are.
Right. And it's funny because at one point, Brian Voltaggio's sous chef, who I swear I've seen before somewhere else. He's got a mohawk. He just looks familiar to me. He may have been on another cooking show or something.
Probably
but I
on one of those, like, those
food truck
battles, food, yeah, Food Network challenges.
Probably.
Or something.
But he says, like, I forget what he says, but don't forget to add seasoning or something like that. And Brian lets out this laugh, and you guys just got to hear this, okay? I built this up way too much, but let's check it out.
Masters, we're about to get down to business.
You're not on the bottom, the very bottom.
No.
My sous chef, Jason, put me a little bit behind.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
Good thing I went to that lamb class before I came in.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Chefs, you just have 30 minutes on the clock. Make it delicious. Your time starts now. Okay. Brian, start cooking.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Chef, make sure everything's seasoned proper.
Thank you, Chef.
That's awesome.
What the hell?
The 626 Asian Night Market. This Asian pop-up market is one of the largest of its kind in Los Angeles. Now, you get your chance to be part of it. For your challenge, we want you to put an Asian twist on an American classic.
Cooking Asian cuisine is something I do all the time, but putting a spin
on
an American classic is definitely something I don't do.
Absolutely.
So I have to pick an American classic to transform.
My American classic is an interpretation of my mother's chicken and dumplings, but I have to make it fun. So I'm going to put some crispy chicken feet over the top. I have to kick it a little bit. You know, I'm not using that word, Jesus.
I just made a turkey sandwich. It's an Asian sandwich.
There's another lap.
It's like a prawn cracker.
See, it's delicious, right?
The texture's unusual, we gotta be honest.
You know, it was a really great dish.
Yeah, that was so good.
Okay, this is great. Listen for some great James Oslin mixed in here. They're at this pop-up, and they're all sampling food, and they've even invited Kathy Lee Gifford to join them.
Oh, no.
Let's check this out. Oh, and by the way, she's not adventurous at all food-wise, and she's like, what is this? One of them has a chicken heart, and she's like, I'm not eating that. And they're like, it's
delicious.
That's
why Frank went and, you know, experimented elsewhere. She's not adventurous.
Yeah, don't forget to eat the head.
Thank you, Chef.
There's a couple people asking me if they're supposed to eat the head, which immediately makes me go, I made a huge mistake. I'm kind of second-guessing
always
my choice.
So let's move on to Lynn's dish.
I like that.
This biscuit. It's delicious with that pulled pork. I think it's really, really good.
It is really good. This slaw, for me, tastes a little food court, I'm sorry to say.
These biscuits are hot.
Jen's BLT.
It's a damn good BLT.
That's the problem, though. It's just too much like a BLT.
What the
Thank
hell?
Thank you guys for being so nice to let me be here.
And you had your first shrimp head.
I had my first shrimp
head. And I bet it's not going to be the last.
Oh, one never knows.
And her first chicken heart.
I didn't eat the heart. Does anybody want my heart?
Have fun tonight.
And you. See a shrink, it'll
happen.
Be all right.
Hello, Chef.
How are you?
We made a play on cookies and cream. The cookie part of it is a black sesame cookie soil on the bottom. The cream part is a green cardamom coconut milk cream.
I'm sorry, you're calling it cookies and cream.
Yes.
Oh,
it's a version of cookies and cream.
James just got this sour look on his face, and it doesn't look like he is into the concept at all. I'm not feeling great.
And then Just Because also did Rice Krispie Treats.
Wow.
Enjoy.
Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
I have to confess, though, I just had an unpleasant food moment. There was like a really terrible large piece of shell.
I found a little bit
like, that's actually not a little. That's actually like
a lot. Yeah, it's like a sizable piece
of shell. That's like a Lee press-on nail.
So let's try Douglas's dessert.
Oh, why do people have to mix savory stuff with sweet? Why do they do that? I know you guys probably like it. I don't like it.
Okay, James, thank you for stating that.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. It's really, really good. Shut my mouth. It's such a perfect end to this, too.
Shut your mouth.
Who's trying the Rice Krispie?
I just ate it.
How was it?
I think it was amazing. I'm super into it.
Oh, my God.
Super into it.
And you get that toasty nuttiness from the rice, and the leaves are just
love
feeling warm
toasty nuttiness.
And happy.
I'm warm and happy too, Francis.
I love that. He goes, I don't like sweet and savory. You guys like it. I don't like. And then he takes a bite. He's like,
shut my mouth.
Okay.
Is he putting on an extra effeminate air this year?
I think he's always like this. We
really?
Can go back to early drops, Bill. He's always sounded like this.
Wow. He's just particularly obnoxious this
season. Do you remember last season when he's poolside with these muscle-bound dudes and he begged them to do push-ups? And he's like, oh, my. No, he's always been like this. Okay. Here's a part where... Okay, by the way, Brian, who has this incredible laugh, did you guys catch that? How great was his laugh? There's this one.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then there's...
I like that one better because the first one sounds like Seth Rogen.
That's awesome.
Wouldn't you have been like turned your head like, what the hell was that?
So now Brian Voltaggio has entered the realm of the laugh of Maria Menounos.
Yeah.
And Seth Rogen.
Wait, I'm trying to start my car. Is it my starter out, Steven? Listen to this.
It's not turning over. Dresser.
I'm not sure what's going on. Damn, my starter's out. Damn it.
Blew a rod.
Wait, my starter was out. It would just click. So this is just dead battery?
No, it wouldn't even turn over on dead battery. You...
I think I flooded it. Aw, damn it.
You might need some fuel injection cleaner.
But what I was going to say about Brian is he's kicking ass. It's only the second episode, and he made this awesome, chicken and dumpling soup, but he used chicken feet in it, which I'm not sure I'd be adventurous, but it's crispy chicken feet, and everyone said it was incredible.
No, chicken feet are good. There's a lot of really good flavor, and yeah, they're good.
Okay, listen closely. They say they loved it, but Kathy Lee's like, I don't like this. And then listen to what James Olsen says to her.
Oh, no.
Hi, everybody.
Hey,
thank you for letting me crash your party. You know, I've been going around talking to everybody, and it's fascinating.
And you always eat beautiful food on the Today Show. You have all these great chefs.
You guys have
Where's
not
Hoda?
A cook for us yet.
Not yet.
You
not
have.
Yet.
I have. It's
you
your
have.
Turn.
You're the virgin amongst us.
Okay, let's go and eat. Come
let's
on,
do it.
He's just hungry. He's like, let's go.
Brian.
Hi, how are you?
I have a very special guest, Kathy Lee.
Hello, good evening. So this is interpretation of Mom's Chicken and Dumplings. Made a really rich aromatic broth.
Thank you very much.
Wow. For you. Thank you. Enjoy.
How are you?
Hey.
I thought, what would be better than a chicken nugget? So I basically took ground chicken, mixed with a little bit of pork fat and pork, breaded it in panko, and then a little chicken heart on the side. James, I read about your books, and this challenge made me nervous.
You've been very, very nervous.
Yeah. Thank you, Neil.
Pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you. You always got to butter up the judges.
Brian's soup is fantastic. It has such a flavor of like a really traditional Chinese broth. It takes like 19,000 hours to get that flavor. And Brian did it in 2 hours.
Amazing. I love this dish.
I don't like it at all.
You don't like it at all?
No, I
get
don't.
Away. Get out of here.
Snob. I sense a snob.
Come inside my body. Come inside my palate and experience this dish.
That would be a first.
It would. It's healing.
Wow.
I was smelling bad Chinese.
Yeah. Did you hear exactly what he said, though?
You need to play that again.
Okay, listen closely. Steven, I want you to listen to this, too. Listen.
Come inside my body.
How do you feel about that, guys?
I just want to pretend it didn't happen.
Get away. Get out of here.
Okay.
Oh, my. Well,
he's an Indian giver.
Wait, I thought you wanted me to come inside your body. What? He was trying to say, you don't appreciate it. He said, come inside my body, come inside my palate. And she goes, yeah, like that, like that'll ever happen. So she immediately goes to the dirty place, just like
of course she does.
Reminds her, but it's hilarious.
Come inside my body.
Okay, don't ever say that sentence again, okay, dude?
At least in public.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Hey. All right, guys, that was Top Chef Masters, and I wanted to say something real quick. I want to name two shows that I'm watching this summer, and we're not covering here on the show, but I'm watching The Bridge on FX. Have you guys checked that out yet?
I've seen Heather tweet about it, but I have no idea what it is.
It's a very well-made show. It's basically on the border between Mexico and, and Texas?
One of those bordering states.
Yeah. And New Mexico, maybe? No, Jason, come on. But anyway, it's on the border, Bill, on a bridge where a guy is leaving dead bodies. And they're not sure if he's American or Mexican, but he's trying to show the world that all these people die in Mexico. These women are missing, and no one seems to care. So now he's going to kill an American lady and bring her over the border and see if they start caring. It's very interesting. I'm not sure what his end game is, but it's kind of creepy. So it's a serial killer.
Check it out.
And also the NBC comedy called Camp. I'm enjoying that too.
Yeah, you've told me about that. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Not
and it's not
camp.
The summer camp show from USA.
Right. Not that reality show.
Yeah, because my dad asked me about it. He goes, have you been watching that show Camp? And I was like, no, but Jason said he and his wife really enjoy it. And he goes, oh, it's effing terrible. And I was like, are you sure you're talking about the same? So I started looking up camp shows, and then I see summer camp on USA, and I was like, oh, that's what it is, because my dad never changes the channels.
That's awesome.
He's always on USA, NCIS, Covert Affairs.
Oh,
and
man. You know, Heather's favorite show is Burn Notice. You know that, right?
Yeah, and it's over now, right?
Yeah, they were all tweeting, last show ever, last episode, they completed filming, and Heather was getting so upset. And I was like,
aww.
It's over, Heather.
Game
but
over.
It's been rumored that they want to give Bruce Campbell his own show with
there
his character.
Go.
That would be sweet.
Well, my dad would love that because that's Sam Ash. Is it Sam Axe or Ash?
Yeah, Sam Axe.
Because I was like, Sam Ash? Wait, that would be even better to have his name Sam Ash, because then it's kind of a play on characters. But
time for some hooch! Hooch for the pooch!
I love... But,
yeah, my dad loves that show.
Klaatu, Murata,
we all love Bruce Campbell, and I love his character, and his alias is Chuck Finley. I love whenever Chuck Finley shows up on the show, where he's like, someone's like, who are you? And he goes, Finley, Chuck Finley. I told Heather, I go, when this is all over, I'll totally do a rewatch with you, the entire series. We can... Like, I think a lot of the seasons are on Netflix, or we can buy the Blu-rays or whatever. Because, you know, I get sad when certain shows I love are gone for good.
Sure.
Like, I was very upset when Fringe ended. And still, like, when they get the last season up on Netflix, I want to do a complete rewatch of all five seasons.
Absolutely.
When I start to think about, man, that show's gone.
I've done rewatches of Lost. Just, you know, just
that,
and then
I'm not,
I still get emotional.
Yeah, that was such a good show, but no, I haven't done that yet. But
I do tend to skip season 3, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Which season was that? I'm trying to remember.
That was the Anna Lucia and...
Oh, I thought that was season 2.
Or season 2.
All right, guys. Bill, you want to do some news?
Yeah, sure.
I don't get claustrophobic.
Do
claustrophobic?
Did you say
claustrophobic?
Yeah.
I don't get claustrophobic.
Claustrophobic.
Claustrophobic. All right, awesome. Bill, let's do the news! Whee! All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Thank you, Jason.
Wonder Twin Powers, activate!
Okay, sorry. Yeah. All right, I'm here.
Is everything okay, Bill?
Yeah, it's just this stupid microphone thing got flipped, the on-off button. So I'm sitting here talking, reading a story and going, oh, it's muted.
Oh, dear boy.
Yeah. All right, I posted this one in the Entertainment Landfill fan club just because I got a chuckle out of the photo. Czech Republic court has struck a blow for religious freedom. Ridiculous, ridiculous religious freedom. Lukas Novy, 29, successfully argued that he should be allowed to wear a pasta strainer on his head in his official government-issued ID photo because he was required to do so by his Pastafarian faith.
Pastafarian. I love it.
Yep. Novi belongs to the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, a parody religion whose followers believe that a giant, invisible monstrosity made of spaghetti and meatballs created the universe after drinking heavily.
It's like the pasta police, this one.
Yes. Novi said the faith required him to wear the strainer at all times. He's not the first to get away with the gag either. Back in 2011, Austrian pastafarian Nico Alm won a similar case after a 3-year court battle. The faith was originally invented in protest to the Kansas State Board of Education's plan to introduce intelligent design theory into its curriculum. I love pastafarians.
Up the pasta course.
It's probably my favorite religion.
Pastafarian?
Yes.
Never heard that before, but it's a hilarious.
I became aware of it because I think it was in like the first season of the IT Crowd. Behind Roy, there's a poster of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Ah.
And it's just this like a spaghetti with
fish. It's like the
meatball.
Fish
yeah. Yeah, but it has meatballs for eyes. Yeah.
It's kind of like a fantasy.
Yeah, it just, yep, it's the go-to atheist make funny religion.
Right, it's like, oh, do we need a deity to worship? And then it's this kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it's a drunken spaghetti monster.
I don't get claustrophobic.
And neither do I.
Okay, buddy, we're moving on past that.
All right, once again, I don't get it. Why do hot girls become teachers and then sleep with their students?
I don't like it.
And why has it never happened to me? Wall, New Jersey teacher at the Wall Township High School taught English and is arrested on a charge of criminal sexual contact with a 15-year-old male student, Kaylee Warnick, 22. Well, she's not that much older. I mean, that's you know, it's not that bad. Of Deer Run section of township was arrested July 30th on charges of third-degree aggravated criminal sexual conduct, one second-degree having sexual relationship with a minor she had care over, according to the complaint out of Wall. The school board now says it expects to review Warnick's contract renewal. What I want to understand is, I mean, this is a hot chick, and she's pretty. And this kid, is he not able to keep his mouth shut?
Of course not. It's immaturity. They wouldn't know. You're immediately going to tell your friends.
Smoking hot.
Yeah. All right, and here...
Guys, guess what I did last night? Oh, my gosh.
My God, I'm hot for teacher.
You know that oldie song my dad plays called Hot for Teacher by Van Halen?
Oldie. That's so... Oh. That's just sad. Oldies.
Okay, I love this. A brood of baboons living in the Netherlands Zoo have been spooked for days. Staff at the Emin Durin Park
by a gaggle of silverback apes
say the primates have been huddled together, barely eating or moving. It's the fourth time in 20 years that the 112 East African baboons have been traumatized for some unexplained reason. The Hamadryas baboons have also turned their backs on zoo visitors.
Bam, bam, bam!
They became panicked at the end of the day on Monday. They were hysterical, not jumping around, but behaving strangely. They consulted with a baboon expert who said the hysteria could be triggered by seeing a predator. Since the primates were bored and raised in captivity, they could have seen the image of on one of visitors' T-shirts or felt an earthquake or natural disaster. The craziest suggestion was that it was caused by a UFO.
Steve, hey, I gotta talk to you, man.
Was it a glowing man? Yes,
that's exactly what it was. They saw a glowing man. So they're just all huddled around looking for the glowing man.
I saw a UFO.
But there's hope. They have started to eat apples. So if you eat apples, that means, you know, they're starting to come around. The glowing man has, you know, it's going to be okay for the baboons.
UFOs, aliens, galaxies far, far away.
They probably just saw one of each other's big red asses. And they're like, oh my God.
Those things scare me. Those big red asses.
They're spooky.
Wear a diaper, man.
Yeah, they should.
I'm just a foot so far up
Just a little bit of modesty.
Yeah, it's like, dude, do you see what your ass looks like? Do you see what your face looks like?
You have a problem with my ass?
Jesus.
Face. All right. Here's...
That's awesome.
Another crazy beauty thing that everyone's paying way too much money to do. New York. Bird poop. Facial.
Shut my mouth.
Bird poop?
Yep, facials.
Ew. Yeah,
the stuff that you hate landing on your car, you're now having smeared all over your face.
Ew, I can't, no.
No.
Yeah. No. Yep, that's what goes into facials at a luxury spa where the traditional Japanese treatment using imported Asian nightingale shit mixed with rice bran goes for $180.
Wow.
$180. I could like buy a brand new Nintendo 3DS XL for that.
That is one big pile of shit.
I can't even name all the things I could buy for $180.
Dude, I wouldn't even. You know, some people they wash their hair with mayonnaise. I wouldn't do that either.
Who washes their hair with mayonnaise?
Piles of miscellaneous viscera.
That's gross.
My dad's Aunt Florence, I used to call her Aunt Florence too, but she would talk about, she would, like, once a year or something, she would wash her hair with mayonnaise.
Is it because of, like, the oil and the egg, or what?
I mean,
essentially, it's egg, so...
It would make it really soft. It'd be
luscious.
Like,
and then you eat it as chicken. On a sandwich.
Mayonnaise? That is not Italian food.
Yeah.
All right, so about 100 men and women go into the Shizuka, New York skincare salon just off Manhattan's Fifth Avenue each month to get treatment. Which is promoted as a way to keep the face soft and smooth, using an enzyme in the poop to gently exfoliate the skin.
Oh, man, this luscious shit all over my face. It's great.
You know, people do that and they're considered crazy when they, like, smear shit on themselves.
It's like, you need to be locked up.
Massage, facials.
I'm sure this is that same salon that had that where you put your feet in a tank of, like, fish and they eat the dead skin off your feet.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm not doing that either.
I'd come closer to that than putting bird crap on my face.
Yeah. That's just, I bet you they're just going out in the street and collecting it like pigeon shit off the sidewalk.
Like,
saying,
oh,
this is a special Asian nightingale.
Yeah, they're like, this shit is gold, man.
Come inside my body.
No. Just no. Stop it, James.
Phenomenal.
Ugh, it's so gross. All right, here's it, you know, the ice cream of the future used to be Dippin' Dots.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like it was like the liquid nitrogen.
That stuff's actually fun to eat too.
Ice cream pellets. That stuff. I always hated it because it burnt my tongue. Like it. I've made it really. Like
I talk like this after I ate it. You know how they have those machines? They have machines now at certain places where they make.
I've seen those.
Yeah, that stuff is good.
They have those outside the movie theater at the mall
seems
I go to.
Obvious.
Like you can go up to it and put a $5 in it, you know.
Yeah.
And get a cup of Dippin' Dots. Mm-hmm. Well, now there's Lunar Ice Cream.
Whoa.
It's Häagen-Dazs Harvest Ice Moon and full ice moon cakes. So they're like an ice cream cake. They're like the size of like a half size of a baseball, and it's just a moon like thing. It's Häagen-Dazs Ice Moon Spherical Delights.
The ice is gonna break.
What? No. created for the 2012 Christmas season, and if it's are there any indication the moon fares better in ice cream than in cheese? The full ice moon cake consisted of macadamia nut brittle ice cream and raspberry sorbet separated by meringue and positioned on a pistachio biscuit base. It's boring. The harvest ice moon treat, meanwhile, featured salted caramel and vanilla ice cream with salted caramel sauce and crispy chocolate as a base. What looks like a rough catered mini moon may be a small step for ice cream, but it's one that could become a giant leap for ice cream cakes.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness, that's delicious.
Now, here's where it goes south.
Uh-oh.
$58.
Why do people have to mix savory stuff with sweet? Why do they do
that?
Wait,
what?
$58.
Holy moly. Are you serious?
I could buy, probably about, 10 pints of ice cream for that.
Holy shit.
$58 just to get an ice cream that looks like a moon. Way to go, Häagen-Dazs.
Can't I just go get a pint at the
just
grocery store?
Bring back the magic Swirtle.
Aren't we in a recession?
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. You know how controversial things can be whenever you maybe do a little play on a religious type thing? Well, turns out the United States Postal Service kind of pissed some nuts off by revealing their new slogan. In priority, we trust. Whoops.
Jesus Christ!
Yes. Yeah. You don't screw with the religious nuts because they'll come after you and then it's... Yeah, well, whoever they paid to come up with the slogan, in priority, we trust, is now probably going to have to give their money back because they're not going to use it.
Christ almighty!
They were trying to attempt to focus on the promise of priority mail, 2 to 3 days, free insurance, new tracking. They're basically trying to redesign everything so people will use the United States Postal Service.
It's in the Bible.
But, whenever you take a play on something that people normally involve God in, it's, can't do that.
How dare they?
Yeah, they said... the customer, Tabitha Hoshenscheid, said, perhaps, yes, Hoshenscheid.
Excuse me.
Hoshenheffer?
Klaatu Barada Nekra.
Klaatu Barada
Nekra. She says, perhaps they should have test marketed their slogan. Yeah, well, maybe they don't need to because people are freaking nutbags.
You have to have that person at the clipboard at the mall come in and ask you,
If somebody said, in priority, we trust, what's your initial reaction?
I'm going to punch you in the mouth.
Yes, there you go.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, that's a no. That's a negative response there.
But I've got to maintain plausible deniability.
I found this... slightly strange. We're getting back to the crazy teacher-student relationships. Well, whenever there's a hot teacher, hot female teacher, normally, the guys or students are all over that. Well, David Clune, a Timber Creek Regional High School math teacher, was charged with harassing former students with inappropriate messages.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What?
Clune,
are you kidding me?
34 was arrested on July 10th. And charged with harassment. He's suspended from his teaching position, has been ordered...
It makes me sick.
...to not have contact with students or staff. Police say 17-year-old Timber Creek graduate received 33 text messages from Clune from the 4th to the 8th of July attempting to meet with the teen socially. Also sent 39 Facebook messages to an 18-year-old July 4th through the 6th.
Not good.
You don't become a teacher to be a creeper.
Simple assault and harassment.
That's just, it doesn't work that way.
I vaguely remember a teacher in high school. I didn't have him. I think Laura did. Maybe she could tell me. But he was like one of those teachers that all the kids loved. They were always hanging out in his class when they shouldn't have been. And it turned out he was up to illegal shit.
Yeah, we had that at the school I went to. It was actually a Christian high school that I went to later, like my sophomore, junior years. He was the popular teacher. And, you know, he drove around in his Jeep, and he, like, basically wanted to be a student. You know, all his friends were the kids, he was the basketball coach, all that stuff. And turns out, years later, he moves his way up to principal. Mm-hmm. And when he was principal, he got involved with a 15-year-old girl.
This is gross.
Yeah. So, you know, you kind of knew. And the other strange thing was he married a girl that was also a student. Like, she had graduated and gone on to college, but was a student there.
That's creepy.
Yeah, and it's like, that wasn't kind of like a red flag?
Don't pay any attention to her foolishness.
You know, but it was love.
That's creepy.
You know, and she was of age, so they married and had children, and then whenever he got dissatisfied with that, he moved on to a younger girl who was also a student.
Aw, gross.
Shut my mouth.
Yeah.
Shut my mouth. Ugh.
And now I am bringing up the stories that I had just accidentally closed because I'm an asshole.
Hey, Bill, James has a question for you.
Come inside my body.
Not sure that's...
That's not a question.
It's a demand.
More of a request or a demand. Yeah.
I'm not feeling great.
Yeah, that's a little strange.
These biscuits are hot.
I don't know. This is one of those stupid stories that I see that's pure speculation. I don't know why it's being run, but it says Batman versus Superman director Zack Snyder will have talks in the next few days with the man who first pitched the two superheroes against each other in an iconic comic book tale 30 years ago.
Thank you, Jason.
Oh, really? Who would that be?
Oh, writer and artist Frank Miller cast an aging Bruce Wayne against Clark Kent in Batman The Dark Knight Returns.
Has anyone come up with a rumor that Zack Snyder quits Man of Steel to do Star Wars?
I'm sure that'll come up sooner or later.
Oh, jeez.
Wow, that has some serious kick to it.
Hey, Steven.
Oh, no.
It's a Wolverine punch right there.
Son of a bitch.
No!
That would hurt. I love punches with bass to them.
Yeah, that's that. I think you gotta have that. The visceral quality of it.
So he's right, meeting with Frank Miller?
Yes.
Nice.
I don't, you know, this is all just, I'm going through it, and I don't even feel like reading it, because it's just, again, it's like, well, he read a quote, he had someone read a quote from it at Comic-Con, so now, he must be meeting with Frank Miller. Who's their source? No one, but it must be happening.
Wait, they didn't check sources before they released the story?
There's no mention of it anywhere in this story of a source.
I'm Batman!
What the hell kind of shit is that?
The closest thing here to a source is someone close to Miller said Frank had no idea the announcement in San Diego was going to happen, so it did come as a surprise. But he is going to be meeting up with Zack in the next few days to go over plans for the Superman film, so things should be clear after that. There's your source right there.
Hey, Zack, I'm here at the place. I thought you were meeting me. Excuse me?
Who are you?
In the newspaper that we were meeting, so.
This is Frank Miller. Oh, I thought you were doing Sin City 2.
You're that guy that did The Spirit. Oh.
This is Batman.
Frank, hello?
Hello, yeah,
Frank.
Zack.
Quite frankly,
So okay, they're not going to meet. What would he talk to him about? He's like, you're not working on the movie and I'm not hiring you, but let's talk about this. Basically, here's what you do. I could tell him because it happens in all the comics. Batman versus Superman. Okay, they're going to fight at one point in the movie. Then they team up in the third act, Bill, and they go after the real bad guy.
No, really?
Thank you, Jason.
Yep. What do you think? Never been done before, except in every single Versus comic. In fact, it happened in The Avengers. Remember where Thor and Iron Man are fighting? Then Captain America's like, knock this shit off!
How about that?
Made a huge mistake.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, let's just recycle the shit out of everything and make it new again.
But, I mean, the Batman and Superman, that's a cool idea. I don't know how they're going to do it. But
I thought they would do a straight Superman 2 before they got involved in that.
Goodness, but I guess that's delicious.
Warner Brothers just needs the cash.
The
so.
Reason they're doing it is because they need to set up that bigger world. And
yeah.
Then they're going to... I know... I always thought the Justice League of America stuff was bullshit. Like, it wasn't really happening behind the scenes. Remember, for the longest time, George Miller was going to handle
it? Oh, yes.
But if they want to do...
What's his name from... the comic book geek from Friday Night Lights was involved at one point, too.
Jason Street?
Yeah, Jason Street.
Yeah, Scott... Steven. Scott...
Yes. Yeah, Scott something.
Scott.
Scott Bakula.
Scott.
Scott Bakula.
Scott.
It's love, Scott.
Yes. But anyway... Oh, Jesus. Okay, moving on, Bill.
Okay, so I thought this was funny that Star Trek III The Search for Spock had to be removed off Netflix's instant watch service because they put up the version without Klingon subtitles. Our English subtitles are the Klingons.
What the hell are these guys saying?
Yeah. I like the headline that Netflix removes Star Trek 3 to make aliens easier to understand. Like, oh. Well, that was nice.
Mock!
Unusually, the report continues that Netflix is planning to translate the dialogue itself as opposed to lifting existing subtitles from earlier home releases of the movie.
We must activate the auto-destruct sequence and use the escape pods to evacuate the ship.
I thought that was funny. It says either that means that, A, Netflix will have the most impressive, accurate Klingon and Vulcan subtitles ever.
Space Trek?
Or B, Netflix is a fan of creating unnecessary work for itself.
They have this new thing. I don't know if you have the PS3 do you ever watch PS3 and Netflix?
No.
They have this new interactive thing where you click it. It's like, hey, you need help picking a movie? He literally talks to you like that.
Oh,
what
my
kind
God.
Of movie would you like to watch today?
And leave it's like, me alone.
Sci-fi, historical, romance, comedy. Okay, I'll pick comedy. Okay, what kind of comedy you want to watch? And it'll go raunchy, romantic, or slapstick. All right, it sounds like you want to watch a slapstick comedy. I'm going to give you 5 options, and I bet you're going to pick one of them. Let's see. The first one is Slapshot, starring Paul Newman. Would you like to watch this or skip it? Skip it. I'm supposed
you're not,
to do
you're
that.
Joking, right?
No! You need to go and do it. It's hilarious. Every time I've done it, I'm laughing the whole time. And then it goes, well, sorry you didn't want anything. You didn't like any of my choices. Come back next time. It's hilarious.
Jesus.
That would just piss me off.
Yeah, what he did.
All right, and finally, I just had to bring this up because it's Pacific Rim or specific Rim.
Can you be more specific?
Oriented.
Wow.
The momentum for the sequel is building because of international box office.
Can you be any more specific?
It had a $9 million opening in China, which is the biggest ever for a Warner Brothers film. So
really?
Yeah. It record-breaking 9 million from an estimated 5,000 digital 3D screens and 117 digital 3D IMAX screens and 22 China giant screens. So it's a new high for any Warner Brothers release and 23% bigger than any Harry Potter film, including the final Harry Potter film.
You mean
film.
Like $90 million or $9
million? $9
million. It doesn't sound like that much.
Well, that's China. You know, it's not like here.
Oh.
But that's huge. I mean, that's for international, that for at least only in China, that's very, very, very big.
10 cc's of China White, speedballing with pure flakes.
it's total foreign haul right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
$144 million with a worldwide total of $230 million. So it's I think if it keeps going, I think the budget was around $180 million. So mm-hmm. If it keeps going, they're going to do another one. And although the film itself felt pretty final, there's, you know...
The story's
over. What I understand, sprinkles of what would happen in the sequel throughout the film. Well,
I know that something else could be opened, apparently, you know?
Maybe it has something to do with, you know, whenever they finally go through the portal into the other world or something.
What if you're like, you know what, let's invade or something?
Yeah.
They need a lot of Jaegers to do that.
That would be awesome.
That would be totally cool.
I want to see a sequel. I loved it.
I wonder if Buddy from Cake Boss could pilot a Jaeger.
I don't get claustrophobic.
He should be okay because he's not claustrophobic.
That cockpit is kind of large.
Yeah, he should...
He might have some envisionments of what the other world would be like.
What do you think of it, buddy?
It's colorful and pretty.
Oh, he must have seen it in 3D, Bill.
I bet he did. And, I'm a little disappointed...
Gonna punch you in the mouth.
...that we did do a show tonight because I was unable to go see Sharknado on the big screen.
Aww. Oh, man, are you kidding me?
Yes, what? Fathom Events...
Buddy saw it.
Fathom Events brought it to theaters tonight. So if, you know, maybe there are people out there right now enjoying Sharknado on the big screen in all its glorious awfulness.
Awesome!
I don't want to see it. I don't care to see it. I heard plenty about it on the Howard Stern show. They were talking about it
Bill. Well, let's go see it together.
I think maybe we should just wait.
Get a grip, guys.
Gordon doesn't think we should. It's starring Ian Ziering.
No, it's Steven. Ian.
It's Ian.
No, it's Ian.
I don't care.
It's Ian.
I don't care.
You know, an ion cannon?
Spelled completely differently.
Oh.
Oh, and if you thought that...
Dirtbag alert.
The TLC only gave shows to bakers and white trash families...
Mm-hmm.
You'd be kind of correct, but this one is the new. Oh Jesus! This headline. Way to go, Entertainment Weekly.
Come inside,
TLC has some pretty big balls to put this on the air. The cable network has just announced a special title.
I know what you're about to say.
Titled "The Man with the 132-Pound Scrotum."
You don't have the skills or the balls to do what's got to be done.
Yep, it's happening. There are photos.
Do you know what this immediately made me think of is there's a line from Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
You ever seen a man with elephantitis of the nuts? It's pretty tasty. That's what made me think of. So this guy has huge balls, right, Bill?
Well, I don't think the balls themselves are huge. I just think the scrotum, he's got lymphedema of the sack.
Only I want his balls.
So it's just
Howard Stern a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he was. He turned down the surgery, right? They were going to pay for it.
No, he was trying to get money for it.
But somebody offered to do it.
I love you, balls.
He turned it down.
Why wouldn't you have them removed, honestly?
Because he was looking for a paycheck, obviously. And he just really enjoys always having to sit down with a milk crate underneath his gigantic sack.
I love it when balls are in my face.
He had to wear a hoodie.
Yeah, that's what the picture is here. He has a hoodie. He wears a hoodie instead of pants.
Instead of pants. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the hood holds
his sack.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, and it's like there's always the hood dangling on the ground like an escape hatch.
Sweet meats in my mouth.
Why? Yeah. Why? Yeah, he was why? On the... Why isn't this guy blowing his brains out?
Hey, you know what? Now at least he's going to get a paycheck.
Get out of ridiculousness.
Yeah, the Special Chronicles of Challenges of Wesley Warren Jr., a 49-year-old Las Vegas resident who's living with a rare medical condition called scrotal lymphedema. The
scrotal
show will follow
gigantism.
What?
Scrotal gigantism.
Come on, that's a better name.
Yeah, Wesley's life as he deals with day-to-day challenges that are easy for most people. Due to the large size of his scrotum, he has difficulty with simple tasks like walking, preparing meals, and even going to the restroom.
Why does this guy get his own show is what I want to know.
Why does this guy get his own show? We've been doing a podcast for nearly 10 years.
Dude, I would love us doing this show on TLC, where it would be just, they'd follow you on the road, Steven. Bill, they would be at your house, and they'd be here at my house, and they'd see the stuff we do every day, and then we'd build up to the show, you know? It would be a great show, and there would be the cast of characters of other people we know in our lives, you know?
Yep, we got a show right there. Or at least a documentary.
Or documentary.
Or a documentary.
Or a documentary.
My dad said that the other day, and I couldn't stop. Just like he calls Sigourney Weaver Sojourney, I just can't. He says it in my head. I just have to keep saying it because it's so stupid.
What's Sojourney?
Sojourney Weaver, yeah.
I didn't.
So he said documentary. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, now everything is a documentary.
It makes me think of, like, dysentery.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, Jason.
Sorry.
My dad spews gold from his mouth on a regular basis.
Come inside my body.
All right, that's enough. That's news for this week.
Jesus.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the news this week. What do you say we do some DVDs?
All right.
Wonder Twin Powers, activate!
Yeah, okay, let's
Oh, and you know what? Shit, I closed this before it was too... I gotta go back. I'm sorry.
Shut my mouth.
You remember MasterChef from last year? There was a African-American gentleman named Josh Marks, who was a contestant. He was actually in, like, the final group.
Josh. Yeah, I remember Josh, I believe.
Yeah, well, he had a violent encounter with the cops in Chicago.
Oh, shit.
Yes, he said that Gordon Ramsay is an asshole, and that Gordon Ramsay had possessed his body and transformed him into God.
What?
Yeah. Law enforcement sources say University of Chicago cop spotted Josh Marks nearby the campus on Monday trying to use an emergency telephone and had obvious cuts on his face. Cops asked Marks if anything was wrong. Marks then lunged at the cop, striking him with a closed fist, and tried to grab his gun.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, sources say the cop and two other officers tried to subdue the 26-year-old 7-foot-2-inch tall culinary runner-up. This dude is 7 feet 2 inches.
No, come on.
Oh, my God.
They battened and pepper-sprayed him, but it had no effect. He broke free, started running. 5 cops subdued him in a residence backyard. Marks was taken to the hospital, treated for injuries. Were told once in custody, an officer asked him why he went off the rails and blamed it all on Gordon Ramsay. Shockingly, they were told there was no evidence of drug use.
Wow.
I'm amazed they're laughing.
I wasn't laughing. Were you laughing?
Not at all.
Giggling and laughing like two stupid teenagers.
Marksman remains in the hospital, chained to a bed, charged with aggravated battery on a peace officer and attempting to disarm a peace officer, both felonies. If convicted, he faces a maximum of 14 years in prison.
Absolute meltdown.
Yep.
Yeah, big time.
And it's all your fault, Gordo.
Why did you possess him, Gordon?
Yeah, you didn't have to possess him. You could have just,
makes
you know,
me sick.
Graced him with your presence. And that's the news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news. And what do you say? We, again, do some DVDs.
Yeah, so let's do them.
Woohoo!
some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! 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 HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs!
Woo! Oh! All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
Oh, jeez.
Steven, wake up. Bill, you ready? Bill?
He muted.
These biscuits are hot. Oh,
those are yes, hot, hot biscuits.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, yeah, what?
Jesus, Wolverine's beating the shit out of us. We liked your movie, okay?
I didn't.
Oh. Guess he didn't
he
like it.
He wanted more blood.
He's his own worst critic, you know.
He is.
Made a huge mistake.
All right, Bill.
DVD and Blu-rays for August 6th, 2013, starting off with the Blu-ray release of Action Jackson.
Wow.
Yeah! Turn me, turn me.
Oh, my God. Yes, probably the greatest film that Craig T. Nelson and Carl Weathers were in together.
I could really go for a little deep dish action right about now.
What?
Action exhilarating Jackson.
I'm a Michael Jackson bat.
You always need a little Jackson with
you know
your
what?
Action.
Here is the one trivia thing you guys need to know about Action Jackson.
Okay.
The same Huey Lewis looking asshole from Die Hard is in this movie!
Yeah, he is.
He is!
I remember this movie because I watched it over and over again back in the late 80s because I had a Sharon Stone obsession.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Huge crush.
Yep, she's in this, all right.
Yep, her and Vanity and Carl Weathers, of course. But I always crack up at the cover art because he's standing there like he's James Bond, and Vanity is like leaning up against him. Like it just, he's like he's the Black Bond.
The Black what?
Bond. The Black Bond.
Oh, Black Bond. It sounded like you said bomb.
He's the bomb, yo.
He's the Black Bomb. If you
Shut
know what
your
I mean.
Mouth.
Shaft. Oh, wait. Wrong franchise.
All right, so yeah, I'm definitely picking this up. $9, it's mine.
Dude.
I don't think I ever owned it on DVD, so I'm definitely going to own it on Blu-ray.
I haven't seen that film. I don't even think I've seen it again on regular TV. Saw it on VHS back in the 80s.
20 years ago or
yeah.
better.
And I don't think I've ever seen it again. I do
Probably
remember
closer to 30 years ago.
Coach is the bad guy.
Yeah, Craig T. Nelson. He had a whole series of films in the 80s where he was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like Turner and Hooch, Action Jackson.
Turner and Hooch.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, my God.
That's another movie I watched over and over and over again.
That is so cool that old Coach was...
He was an imposing dude. You know, he could pull off the bad guy because he just had the gravitas of the bad guy.
Seriously, if you do buy that, mm-hmm. you're going to laugh your ass off when you see the Huey Lewis dude.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally going to buy it. When I go to Best Buy on Tuesday to pick up Oblivion on Blu-ray.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I am going to buy
Huey
it.
Lewis on the news?
That's
all right,
awesome.
So... Next Blu-ray is a film that has gotten a lot of good word of mouth, actually. I've heard people go on and on about it on Twitter. And it is Brandon Cronenberg's Antiviral.
Oh, my gosh.
Where, from what I understand, people become obsessed, so obsessed with celebrities, that a black market trade in illnesses from celebrities pops up. So
weird.
So people... by the sicknesses from the celebrities that had them.
Welcome final today.
So you would have bought the Sharon Stone flu.
No, probably not.
When you're a kid, you might have.
Maybe, yes.
That's what I'm saying, you would have.
Thank
well,
you,
I just didn't have the money when I was a kid, probably. Oh. But yeah, this, I'm going to check this flick out. I've heard nothing but that it's very unsettling and interesting and
David
pretty
Cronenberg's
cool.
son doing something unsettling. I can see it. I somehow picture that.
And also on Blu-ray, we have the release of the first, would you call it the miniseries of Battlestar Galactica, the original from 78? It's like the two-hour movie, I would call it. Like, it's
from
like the 78? First.
78?
Yeah.
Oh, was the theatrical one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that was, they released, it was a miniseries that they then put together and released in theaters to make some cash, I think.
Yeah, they edited it down to like a two-hour thing.
You know who could tell us about this? Mike Chinstroker.
Yeah, they just recently did an episode on it.
Help! Someone help me!
Oh my god.
And I haven't listened to it. I'm so far behind on Chinstroker versus Punter, but I will get to it. I promise you that. Sorry.
Get right on that, Bill.
Sorry, a little indigestion here.
Oh, dear.
All right, moving on. We have... Oh, Jesus, man. Give me some warning first. Moving on, we have the Alex Winter film Freaked on Blu-ray.
Oh, no.
Machismo. Cheese for men.
You're a bit of a freak.
And, of course, Keanu Reeves is Ortiz the dog boy. I, Rastafari. Because this movie is so stupid.
It's ridiculous.
I think it came out in the early 90s or late 80s. I don't even remember. But I was in the middle of high school, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever made. Like I probably watched it once a weekend with my buddy Chris. We could not get enough of this movie.
You're a freak.
Yeah, you know, Mr. T's the bearded lady.
Yeah, I remember that.
Bobcat Goldthwait is a sockhead.
Yeah, there was a sock, I remember.
Yes, sockhead. Yeah, it's just really, really dumb. Super, super dumb.
It freaked me out.
Love the shit out of it. Right, next we have...
Alex Winter.
Yeah, and he went on to do some film.
He made a documentary based on Napster.
Yeah, downloaded.
I wanted to see it, and
yeah,
I still haven't. I'm waiting for it to hit the old Netflix. For all I know, it could already be on there.
Considered one of the worst films of all time, we have Ishtar on Blu-ray.
Ishtar! Woohoo!
Which I've seen once or twice, and it's really not that bad.
Yeah, I know it's not. It's one of those movies that everyone's heard, oh man, it's like the worst movie ever made. It's probably not that bad.
Come on. Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman are actually, they play off each other pretty well. I mean, it's not a great movie. It's just, it is what it is.
I don't like it at all.
But it was, you know, that time period where everyone wanted to rag on it.
I think mostly it was associated with how much money it cost and how little money it made. That means it's awful. No, what it means is it didn't make any money.
It didn't find
good.
Its audience because it was impossible to find it when everybody's ragging on it.
Right. It was, I mean, I haven't seen it. It could suck. I'm just saying it could possibly not suck that bad.
Yeah. It's kind of like, what the hell was that movie that Martin Campbell did with Ben Affleck and...
Martin Brest. He did Geely.
Martin Brest.
I've never seen Geely, but I've heard, of course, everyone, the entire world said it was like the worst thing ever made.
I've seen bits and pieces of it on cable. I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, it can't be that bad.
All right, next Blu-ray is Lucas.
Lucas, holy shit! Yep, I haven't seen that movie in years.
Corey Haim, 14 years old. Cary Green, who I also had a crush on.
Poor Corey Haim. And it's got a young Winona Ryder in it, too, doesn't it?
Yep, young Charlie Sheen.
Yep, Charlie Sheen, before he was a junkie. What am I saying here?
Well, and now you're going to get into junkies. You just, I mean, come on, Corey Haim, poor bastard.
Oh, my God.
You're right. I didn't mean to be insensitive there. I miss Corey. Poor
and
guy.
And Jeremy Piven, who was balding even then, playing high school football player.
It's when, like, recently, like, License to Drive or something was on, and I was like, I can't believe it. That dude is dead.
Yeah.
Corey Haim is dead. Why?
I still have it's a hard time wrapping my mind around the fact that John Candy's dead. I guess.
I know. Well, it's like recently the kid on Glee. What is he? Yeah. Was he like 22 or something?
Corey Monteith. Yeah, he had a heroin addiction of
so
all things.
So young. It sucks that, you know, people die from drugs and shit. It just sucks.
Yeah, there was a really fantastic documentary that Russell Brand did on addiction that basically goes into, like, his addiction and how he defeated it and, like, helping other people get into it. And, people tend to poo-poo it like it's not a disease, and it is. It is 100% a disease. It's people need help, people need treated, and there's a stigma attached to it, and it prevents that from happening. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, but, really works up. Now, come on.
I'm not exactly a big fan of the box art on Lucas. I think maybe they should have went a little more traditional instead of him. I mean, it's like one of those ones that's like two football guys sitting on a bench with their arms on Lil Lucas. And it just doesn't look right.
If I saw this in the theater originally or not. But I remember it being a good movie. And there's this thing that Corey Haim did with his mouth where it was always open that drove me nuts. Like,
ah!
It kind of like his tongue was thick out.
Yeah. Like Mary on Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. Like Mary.
All right. So, yeah, Lucas.
Hey, you guys.
And the next Blu-ray DVD we have is Mud.
Mud?
Yeah, this is the follow-up film from Jeff Nichols, the guy that did Take Shelter with Michael Shannon.
Stunning shade of mud.
And it's got Matthew McConaughey, but more importantly, it has Joe Don Baker in it, which is what's selling me on it.
My name is Mud.
My name is Mud.
Oh, good. Joe Don. Or Mitchell.
Mitchell. Or, I can't remember his name in that Final Justice movie he did.
Final Justice.
God, that movie was bad.
Oh.
All right. It says, Mud is a timeless adventure about two boys, Ellis and his best friend, Neckbone.
Neckbone?
Yes, who find a mysterious man named Mud hiding out on a deserted island in Mississippi.
Butt naked, in the mud.
I've heard that this is quite a good film.
Oh, okay.
And we know it's good because it has the emblazoned, fresh Rotten Tomatoes logo on the cover.
Get a grip, guys.
Does it have any Harry Knowles quotes on it?
No, but let me see here. no, it's only got Orlando Weekly and Joe Morgenstern from the Wall Street Journal.
Never wash uni.
No, I'm not buying it then. It's got to have Harry Knowles on the cover of it.
Yeah, like, I liked it better than you did. What? I don't understand.
Reminds me of 16mm films.
Okay, then. That's it.
All right, continuing on, we get a 25th anniversary edition Blu-ray of Oliver and Company.
Oliver and Company, woo!
And this film actually has Huey Lewis in it.
Huey Lewis is in Oliver and Company?
Well, music, yeah.
Oh, and, hell yeah.
Billy Joel, I remember. God, I saw this in the theater with my cousin, and I don't know how old I was. It was 1988, so let's say I was like 8 or 9 years old. I loved this movie. I was obsessed with the soundtrack.
Really? I don't know anything about the soundtrack. What kind of songs were on it?
It was just pop music from, Billy Joel, Bette Midler, Huey Lewis. It was good.
Was it songs that were just on their albums and they just littered the soundtrack?
No, these were songs that were actually made for the movie.
Oh my God, wow. That's cool.
Yep, I remember the Billy Joel song was Why Should I Worry or something. It was just I liked it. And the Huey Lewis song was something like Once Upon a Time in New York City. And yeah, it was a fun movie. It was good. I liked it. I'm going to buy it because I'm nostalgic for it. So. Hey, I know that song.
It's Why Should I Worry by Billy Joel.
I love that. That I played that cassette tape.
That's awesome.
And it so gives me douche chills now that I loved it so much. But I still, I can't help it.
You were a little kid, right?
I was 8 years old. And I'm down on the
left street. What is the, let's see, Huey Lewis in the news?
Yeah, there it is.
Once upon a time in New York City.
I knew it. I knew the title.
You know, if I would have been, like, in your room and saw this, I'd have been like, what the hell is this?
You'd have been laughing at me.
This does not sound like Huey Lewis.
Now it's always once upon a time in New York City.
Wow.
Battle, tough old town, it's true.
But how fucking late.
Hey!
Right, you're right. It is lame, and I think they went as far as to cast Cheech Marin as like a rabid Chihuahua. Yeah, and I think Joey Lawrence was the voice of the cat. Oliver.
Joey Lawrence.
Yeah.
Don't you mean whoa,
whoa,
whoa, Blossom, whoa,
whoa, unbelievable.
Yep, this is another one I'm going to be buying just because.
Nice.
Nostalgia.
I wonder if Emma would like it.
Maybe she would. All right, next we have On the Road. The.
Oh, that's the Kristen Stewart hand job movie.
Yes! Yes,
she's
hand jobs.
Yeah, that's why I will check this movie out and just see what's going on there.
just need to see, you know. No,
this is the guy from Tron.
Yes, gets a hand job from Kristen Stewart.
Is he Jack Kerouac or is he a different character?
No, I think he is Kerouac, but there's two writers that are traveling at the same time. It's
Jack Kerouac.
I don't even know. Honestly, I don't. But
did
I know it's got tons of people on it. They couldn't even fit all the names on the cover. It's just name after name after name.
Did either one of you guys read On the Road?
Hell no.
Yeah, I've read it.
Really?
No, never bothered. I was more of a Holden Caulfield.
Made a huge mistake.
I was curious about it, but I never got around to it.
Oh, you know what? It's one of those books that I know I probably should read just because everyone's read it, so I'll get around to it eventually.
Did this film get decent reviews?
You know, I think there are mixed reviews, honestly.
I see.
They've got just about the largest quote for it on the cover. There's so much text on the cover of this thing, it's ridiculous.
Oh, why do people have to mix savory stuff with sweet? Why do they do that?
Like the MK2, American Zoetrope, present film directed by Walter Sales, screenplay by blah, 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 Sam Ryan, just like Viggo Mortensen, Kirsten Dunst, Elizabeth Moss, blah, 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 blah. And
I
then
didn't
at
know
the bottom.
Viggo was in that?
Yeah, achingly romantic, Jack Kerouac's peerless anthem to the romance of youthful freedom and experience has finally made it to the screen with its virtues and spirit intact. Jesus.
Whoa, that's a mouthful.
It's not just like four stars on. It's a huge paragraph out of a guy's review from the Los Angeles Times.
I'm gonna punch you in the mouth.
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
You know, I'll rent it. I'll take a look. Speaking of, you know, I didn't think people really used red boxes until tonight. Whenever I ran to the store before I
I always see people saying for those at the gas station.
There was like a 6-person deep line for the red box at the Kroger.
I wonder what movie came out they want to get.
I don't know, but I was just sort of shocked at it. Like these people don't have internet.
Oh
apparently.
My gosh,
dude! If anything, get Vudu or something.
Yeah, I. Just,
how much
I
are the rentals on the red box? I'm just curious. Because it's like $5 on DirecTV or something.
Yeah.
$4.99 or.
It's like a
it
buck
can't
or two.
Beat that. You know, I bet you they have
really?
Those like free coupons because I always get emails.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe a DVD, but like a Blu-ray rental, do you think that's probably $5?
Probably, yeah.
Hmm.
Wow.
All right, next Blu-ray we have The Pickup Artist with Robert Downey. And Molly Ringwald.
With RDJ?
Yes. But the cover only has RD on it. You know, Robert Downey. He wasn't quite junior yet.
She's actually jiggling my breast right now.
Oh, there it is, our one Robert Downey Jr. drop.
Nice.
Excellent.
I don't even remember the pickup artist.
I do.
Like, I vaguely remember it, but not... I'm more familiar with, Pretty in Pink. And
wait, who's in it besides Robert Downey Jr. again?
Coming soon, Molly Ringwald.
Oh...
Harvey Keitel, Dennis Hopper, Danny Aiello. Jesus, is this a mob film?
Who plays the Angel of Death in that movie, Bill?
Kelsey Grammer is the Angel of Death.
Oh!
I didn't know that movie was so dark.
Wait, what's the Angel of Death doing in The Pickup Artist?
Well, maybe he's picking up corpses.
What am I, the Grim Reaper for that?
Yeah, you're the Angel of Death, buddy. That's what it is.
What am I,
all right,
jerk?
Buddy, next Blu-ray is The Place Beyond the Pines.
Oh, I've seen that place. It's just there,
yeah.
beyond those just, pines over there.
It's where the deer bed down. In all the pine cones and deer shit over there.
He better not come back! Yeah, that's right, or we'll tie you to a tree, skew in the ass while we jerk you off! Show you what we really do to perverts around here!
Excuse me?
Don't go to the place beyond the pines. If you reach the pines, you've gone too far. Turn around. Don't go beyond them.
Yeah, don't go over there.
And another Blu-ray from the 80s, we have Quicksilver with Kevin Bacon.
It's colorful and pretty.
All right, Kevin Bacon. That's been on a few times.
It's the sequel to Premium Rush, right?
Or, yeah.
It's a prequel.
Premium Rush is a sequel. But I don't understand. You know what? When that movie came out, honestly, I'm not lying. This is how susceptible I think I was to things. I wanted a 10-speed.
You wanted a 10-speed with the skinny tires and the horn.
Yeah,
horn
I was like,
thing,
I want to be a bike messenger now.
No, I remember, may have been young, but I remember my sister that Christmas after the movie came out, 10-speed, horned handlebars, skinny tires. I remember looking at the bike and going, how do you ride that?
Yeah.
It's the tires are so skinny.
What is this, an oceanography class here?
All right, next Blu-ray, we have Robin Hood, the 40th anniversary edition. This is the Disney Robin Hood.
Oh, I haven't seen that in years either.
Yeah, they're unleashing all of them now.
I can speak with an English accent.
No, not that Robin Hood. It was a fox. Did you guys like that, the Disney Robin Hood? I can't remember. When you're a kid and you think something's good, it's not the same as is it actually good.
You know what? The only thing I remember of Robin Hood is that there was a song probably like 15 years ago, maybe more, but it was called, everyone called it the Hamster Dance. And it was this ba-da-dee-da-dee-dee.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Emma's heard
that. And
that
was taken from Robin Hood.
Oh.
That was the song during the credits.
Oh, my God, you're right.
And it's just sped up and made, the tempo was sped up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing I remember of Robin Hood is that song.
Oh, my God. Emma thinks that's, like, the most hilarious song. Well, she did when she was younger, but...
Oh, I would always watch that on YouTube. The stupid hamsters.
This song?
Yeah.
Stupid YouTube.
Yep. That's it. It's just really slow, but the Hamster Dance version is just, it sped up like four times.
I wonder who thought to do that and is like, I'm going to release this as a single.
It sounds fantastic. All right, next Blu-ray, we have a Chris O'Dowd film.
Hey!
The Sapphires. It's a Australian musical comedy about a group of Aboriginal singers who were kind of like the Supremes of Australia.
One, sort that shit out.
Yes, all right, Mr. Murphy. There's a bit of a stink that's been created on Twitter and online because the cover art of it is so bad. like, I guess Anchor Bay didn't know what to do with it, so they made Chris O'Dowd front and center. And then they put the main characters of the film, the Aboriginal girls, the singers, the background.
Oh.
So, like, someone even asked him on Twitter what he thought of it, and he said, you know, it's wrong, it's insensitive, it's just inappropriate. And now that's all they needed was something from him recognizing that the cover is totally wrong, and now it's like there's an outrage about it. Like, recall the movie, change the cover.
Dirtbag alert.
Yeah, so...
Oh, who cares? It's just a freaking cover. Watch the movie.
Yeah, the PC... It's not the movie. It's a cover. If you're going to buy the movie dependent on the cover, maybe you, you know, should look into it a little more. I mean, hell, they don't have any of the girls' names on it either. It just says Chris O'Dowd, the Sapphires, and it's him.
You're going to call the police on me?
Yeah. All right, next. On Blu-ray, we have Silver Streak.
Silver Streak, woohoo!
I love that they're releasing these. It's Stars Anchor Bay that has gotten a hold of a lot of these older films, and they're throwing them out there on Blu-ray now.
I can remember as a kid, my mom leaving us at a movie theater and watching. I watched Silver Streak like, I don't know, four times in one day or something.
How old were you?
I was too young to be doing
that. This is only like, this is the PG one that they did.
Oh my gosh.
This one isn't that bad. This isn't the R-rated.
I can remember loving that movie.
Here's something for you. The R-rated team up that they did years later in the 80s, that See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that with my grandma. Oh. And I was probably...
These biscuits are hot.
I don't know. I was preteen.
That
easily.
Was R-rated?
Oh, yeah, because it had F-bombs and it had a naked... Joan Severance.
Oh my God, Joan Severance.
Yeah, right.
Taking a shower.
Remember back in the day? Hot.
That was like, honestly, it was the first set of boobs I saw on the big screen. I was obsessed with Joan Severance.
These biscuits are hot.
Sound entirely awfully crude. That one went in my spank bank for years. I was obsessed with her. And that was before the internet. It's not like you just go and look up nude pictures of Joan Severance. But it was a totally inappropriate movie to see with my grandma. And she had this obsession where I would go to the movies with my grandma, and she thought because she was a senior citizen, she could see as many movies as she wanted. She only had to pay for one movie. So we would skip through the theaters. Like, we'd spend the whole day there. So I saw Cop and a Half.
Come Inside My Body.
With Burt Reynolds.
Oh, awful movie.
Yeah. And we saw Indecent Proposal.
Okay.
Yeah. A preteen with his grandmother. Yeah, now I've told that story about how she leaned over to me one time and went, "This is a bad movie." And I had to excuse myself to go to the bathroom because I was so embarrassed. And then we saw Hear No Evil, See No Evil, or See No Evil, Hear No Evil. So, yeah, I think those were the last three movies. The first three and the last three I ever saw with my grandma.
Aw.
Yeah. Yeah. Aw. That was a horrible experience.
Aw.
My grandma's a bitch.
Yeah, that'll be the day. I adore you.
Aww,
I did not have a nice grandmother.
Aww, I'm sorry.
I know, I am too. I'm very sorry that I didn't have a caring, loving grandmother.
Grandma, so as not to upset you.
All right, and moving on, we have Strike Back Season 2 on Blu-ray.
Oh, love Strike Back.
I just picked up Strike Back Season 1 along with Banshee Season 1.
He will strike down upon thee.
Stop it. Strike Back is a fun, violent show, and it's got a lot of humor in it, but it's serious, like real stakes. But the two main characters, like one is an F-up kind of soldier, and the other is the serious soldier. But
yeah.
Those guys can kill bad guys like nobody's business, man.
I watched the first two episodes of Season 1, and I'm sold, so I keep watching it.
Oh, man, it is so sweet. I'm excited about the next season. Heather freaking loves that show.
Good.
Headshots, dudes getting, you know, RPGs.
Well, it's appropriate that it's a Cinemax show.
Oh, very, yeah, nudity, sex scenes, inappropriateness. You know what I'm saying, Steven?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Living life like a rock star today.
Some more inappropriateness. Next, we have the Blu-ray for The Sword and the Stone, 50th Anniversary Edition. Wait, that doesn't quite work, but...
This is inappropriate.
You're right. No, it's the Disney movie.
Oh.
It's 1963. It's appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, honestly. Never, ever seen it.
Not good.
I guess it goes back too far for me. Maybe I saw it as a kid. I don't know. It wasn't memorable enough, so there you go.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I was young, probably.
It's probably something I just know of, but I don't
probably
know.
Probably in the 70s I saw it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not really an answer. I just.
All right. Next Blu-ray we have.
That's awesome.
We have To the Wonder.
To the Wonder.
Yes, the Terrence Malick film Ben Affleck.
I thought that was coming out in theaters. It never came out.
No, it's been there, done that.
He was the most wonderful man I ever knew.
It did the on-demand and the theater thing. And
so it wasn't a wide release type of thing?
No, it was like only in art house theaters.
You know what that movie's about?
Wonder Twin Powers Activate!
Yeah, it's a Wonder Twins movie!
Lots of ice baskets.
And yeah, you gotta love the ice baskets.
And one...
Shape
Zorian's
ice basket.
Yeah, was
Azorian.
Azorian
from the
eagle.
Azores, an eagle from the Azores.
Mm.
Wonder Twin Powers deactivate.
I had to look it up.
I guess it's better than an Ozarkian eagle.
Help!
Maybe that one would.
Someone help me!
Just have moonshine and no teeth or missing beak.
Is that you?
Teeth.
Excuse me?
It's a hybrid.
That's a crazy eagle with teeth.
Well, you know, the Ozark hillbillies, they probably got a hold of an eagle and made a hybrid. Alright, so moving on. The last and most important Blu-ray of the week, Wing Commander.
Oh, yeah, Wing Commander! That movie sucks!
Yeah.
Guy, of course. That's what they do with wings.
Yep. Those wings have been commanded.
Matthew Lillard and Freddie Prinze Jr. And yep. You know what? It's been on several times. You know, it's HD. I'll sit back. Oh, it's a space movie. I'll sit and watch it. It does not hold my interest, dude.
No, it's terrible.
It's not good.
I made a huge mistake.
Yeah, I made a huge mistake sitting here trying to watch this.
But it's got Jürgen Prochnow.
Jürgen. Hey, Jürgen. It's got something about pilgrims. And you know, here's what I want to know. Like,
Kilrothi.
Their whole thing is they're fighting Kilrothi, these cat-like creatures. When they cut to footage of them in their ship, it's all blurry and shit. It's like...
Because the special effects were terrible.
Yeah! The special effects are so bad that it's just like, don't make the movie if you can't show the enemy, you know, decently enough, you know?
Yeah, it was embarrassing. And that's Blu-ray and DVD for this week.
Oh, well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
It's colorful and pretty.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Punch you in the mouth.
Oh, jeez. Punch Ronald McDonald in the mouth. Man, buddy.
No, I think he's just going to punch the singers in the mouth.
As the intro was playing, I told Steven, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Horrible mistake.
It's the Wacky McDonald's.
Excuse me?
That's a really bad song. It was really it the Wacky Adventures of a Ronald McDonald? Just a just a single.
Come on, come on, everybody! The Wacky Adventures of a Ronald McDonald. Yeah.
Hey now, you're an all star. Get your game on.
Oh man, the other day what was that I Can't Get Enough of You Baby song was in my head, and I literally almost went on a killing rampage. I can't get it out of my head.
I can't get enough of you, baby.
No!
It makes me sick.
There was a tour, like a summer tour, that was going through town not long ago that Smash Mouth was a part of. And it's just like, I don't care who's a part of that tour. Just the fact that Smash Mouth was a part of it.
You know what I'd like to do with Smash Mouth?
Smash Mouth.
Yeah, Smash Mouth. Throw him over a balcony without foreknowledge that there's a pool there.
Who'd they go on tour with?
It was called the Under the Sun Tour.
I gotta hear this.
Smash Mouth, Sugar Ray, Gin Blossoms.
That's awesome.
Vertical Horizon.
Who? Who the hell's that? Have you heard
Vertical
of them?
Horizon was that she's everything you want. She's everything you need. That bad song.
I have no idea.
And Fastball. And they only had one song in the 90s that I remember of.
Wow.
Something about never knowing the way or something. I don't.
Wow. I have no idea.
There was a whole bunch of these 90s crazy tours going on this year.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. I know there was one with Everclear.
Oh, whatever happened to them?
Yeah, they're still around.
That always cracks me up in that movie Loser when they go to the Everclear concert.
It was called the Summerland Tour, and it was Everclear, Live, Filter, and Sponge.
No, wait, that was the Mighty Bosstones in Clueless.
Yes.
There's a part where the Mighty Bosstones are playing. When I first watched that movie, I was like, do these guys, are they going to watch this movie and realize what douches they look like? Oh my God, we're total douches.
Billy Crystal are chasing their son.
Oh my
God. They
don't know
which one's the father. They go to
Father's
Sugar
Day.
Ray concert.
Yeah, that was the one with Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray.
That was before Sugar Ray became popular. Because it was like, who the hell is Sugar
Ray? Huge mistake.
I wanted to go see Ben Folds 5 on tour, but they were part of this really bad group of people that I was just like, you know what? I don't want to sit through Guster and who was the other one? Bare Naked Ladies. That was the big one that I was just like, can't do it. Sorry. I just can't. Welcome to the old apartment.
I knew that. Chinese chicken.
Then it was the other song that they used in Dawson's Creek. Who needs sleep? No, you're never gonna get it. Who needs sleep, baby? What's that for? I just can't take it. I'm sorry. Yeah, I would rather be pummeled by Wolverine than sit through Guster and Bare Naked Ladies just to get to Ben Folds 5.
Wow. Why do they just tour by yourself? You don't have to bring anyone with you.
I don't know. Maybe they figured they would bring more money in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I question.
I'm not feeling great.
They can get a big arena with more people.
Yeah. What do they call it? A bigger headliner and ticket or whatever.
I just figured that if I was going to go to that show with Guster and Bare Naked Ladies, the only Ben Folds 5 fans that were going to that show were the ones that just wanted them to play Brick. And that, you know, I don't mind the song now, but it was so overplayed in that time period that I just don't even
want
to hear it.
I'd want that Rock in the Suburbs song.
Yeah, that's whenever he went solo and did
Rock in the Suburbs. Like Quiet Riot did.
Yep. Right? That was a great album.
I know it.
Don't know.
I love me some Ben Folds.
I sent Steven.
All right.
Different musical taste.
He likes, like, hardcore 80s stuff.
Hardcore, like, 80s.
Like heavy metal,
like,
or?
Yeah, like Nitzer-Ebb.
Oh, come on. I love Nitzer-Ebb.
Oh,
I like
Nitzer-Ebb. No, no one actually likes Nitzer-Ebb.
I do too. How dare you?
I saw him a couple years ago.
I saw him in concert too.
They're still alive?
Yeah. They started. They made a new album not too long
ago. I saw him a long ass time ago. Now that is just rude, Bill.
I'm kidding.
I'm not feeling great.
Yeah, my feelings are hurt.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Steven. Bill. Me. Oh, Jesus.
Why would you do it to yourself?
What's wrong with me? Oh, James wants to address everyone.
Come inside my body.
No. No!
Get away. Get out of here.
Oh, my God. He's what he caught? Bipolar.
Yes, he is.
All right, everyone. That was episode 280 of Entertainment Landfill, formerly Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for supporting us and listening to us for all these years since August 2005 when we got our start. Am I right? August 2005?
Yes.
So it's now August 2013. Holy shit. Wow.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
I think we all need a punch in the face.
Jeez. If everyone... You like the show. If everyone, this isn't even a good sentence. It's a bad place to start. But you know what I figured out yesterday, and I've been wondering it for years, is how come iTunes only shows 20 episodes? I finally found the minutia of settings in Podbean, and I changed it to 200. So now if you go to iTunes, boom, look at all the episodes. Holy shit. It's unbelievable.
Sweet.
We've done a lot of shows. Not all of them are on the feed, but you can find episode 1 through 171 if they're, you know, you don't go to iTunes to get stuff. Go to etlandfill.com, click on our archive link. In fact, there's episode 1 through now on there. If you want to check out all those, you can...
Last week, not now.
Yeah, NIM Movie Minis, what else? All sorts of stuff.
Oscar shows.
Sorry, I had to burp.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so, the Oscar shows, all that stuff. The NIM Movie Minis, those are a lot of fun, Bill, right?
Yeah.
And other stuff. So go to etlandfill.com. Also, check or click on the link to... I can't talk. Also, at the end of the show, I'm just brain dead. Why don't I do this at the beginning of the show? So, anyway... Join our Entertainment Landfill fan club on Facebook, guys.
I don't like it at all.
Hey, it's awesome. There you're going to find Steven, Bill, and I posting fun stuff. Right, Steven? You do all the time.
All the time.
Steven. No, he doesn't, guys. Steven, you know what you get for that?
You know what cracked me up is the other day I was just, you know, checking my Twitter, and there was like a one word post from Steven on Twitter. I was like, well, that was strange.
That was eventful.
Yeah, that was different.
Oh, what was my word?
I have to look here.
Plateau. Barato. Oh.
Duck.
What?
Like, what?
Duck.
Why was it duck?
I don't know. I was tired and flying home.
It was back on July 29th, and he just duck! Exclamation mark.
I was hoping somebody would read it and duck. Go, and it would save their life.
Like, holy shit!
Mine!
Because you just never know.
If you want to find us on Twitter and see great tweets like that from Steven, you can find that on etlandfill.com. Also, call and leave us a voicemail at 206-339-1239. Thank you, Adam, for your triptych of cut-off voicemails.
And happy birthday.
And happy birthday, Adam.
Yes, indeed. Happy birthday.
We have no idea, and it's rude to ask how old Adam is. How much do you guys speculate how old he is?
42.
42.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's probably just entering his 30s. I know he's younger than all of us.
I'm betting he's 22.
Well, he certainly seems like it.
Adam's at least 27, I'm going to say.
No, he's older than that. He's in his 30s. He's got two kids. Come on.
He got started early.
No, that's just wrong.
No, I have no idea how old Adam is. Let's go ahead with...
What did Steven say?
32.
Yeah, I would say he's either 32 or 31.
Yeah, that sounds good. He's definitely not in his 40s. I know that.
No.
He hasn't seen RoboCop, so I know he's not that old.
No, come on.
No, I'm serious, Gordon.
Either that or he's incredibly sheltered.
Yes. He needs to see RoboCop immediately, and it'll just desensitize him.
it'll ruin him.
Oh, wait, how old are you? Wolverine's going to take it out on you. One. Two.
No, really?
Adam, no! Your birthday punches. How old are you? I'm 10. Stop.
I'm one less than you already gave me.
These biscuits are hot.
Oh, yes, they are. Is there anything better than hot biscuits?
Maybe the glowing
okay,
man.
Picture this, Bill. The doorbell rings.
Yes.
A woman standing there with a...
Okay. With biscuits?
She's got uncooked. A cookie sheet of uncooked biscuits.
Now, are they canned biscuits or homemade biscuits?
They're Pillsbury... canned biscuits.
Get off my threshold.
These biscuits are hot.
Come on, they're hot biscuits, Bill. At least they will be once you stick them in your oven. Oh, that didn't sound right.
Come inside my body.
Come on, James Olsland. That wasn't what I meant. I was literally talking about an oven. Wow.
Wow.
Come on. Why does James always have to dirty everything up? Am I right?
He's just a dirty boy.
Phenomenal.
That's why I love Top Chef Masters. I'm like, ooh, more James Olsland.
Yeah, what is he going to say this week?
Get away. Get out of here.
What is his magazine he works for or he's a writer on or the editor?
Savoir?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I need to totally pick that up and just read his words.
I wonder if they're as filthy as the words that come out of his mouth there.
Oh, he's such a dirty, dirty man.
This is a nice, sexy dish where you didn't expect sexiness. Yeah.
You dirty man! Just stop it! Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
No, that's what I said. All right, guys, that's our show. Entertainmentlandfill.com. You can find everything you need. What did I say last week? Do you remember what it is? Your one-stop shoppy for E.T. Landfill E.T. Entertainment.
Shoppy. It's a
shoppy. Yeah. What is a shoppy, Bill? You know what? I went back and heard that clip.
Very dignified shop.
He doesn't deliver that line that well. It needs to be more emphasized.
Shoppy. It's a shoppy.
Yeah, it's kind of a throwaway line. It needs to be more defined.
Uh-oh. Dirtbag alert.
What is that, Steven?
So you remembered it differently, didn't you?
I remembered it more...
Intense? Dramatic.
No, Steven, I need to ask you a question.
Easy slick, Steven's relaxing.
Oh, sorry, Steven. You're just relaxing, huh?
Yes.
You chillaxing there, bud, huh?
It's late. It's time to...
Steve, hey, I gotta talk to you, man.
Hey, what's up?
All right, guys, that's our show. See you next time. Bye, Bill. Bye, Steven.
See you guys
Bye.
Later.
Woo-hoo! Bill, I need a more energetic bye than that.
Bye!
Woo-hoo! Steven, come on, step it up a notch.
I did a woohoo for you.
Come on.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Are you kidding me?
Woo-hoo! All right, guys. See you next time.
Okay, then. That's it.
These biscuits are hot.
Now this is podcasting.
We now return to the Super Friends.
High in a mountainous region of the western United States.
Gina, Bleak, look!
Help! Someone help me!
Let's go!
I can't hold on much longer!
Don't worry, we'll save you!
Wonder Twin Powers, activate!
Form of an Exorian Eagle!
Shape of an Ice Basket!
Gee, I feel sorry for Lori.
Ooh. I'm gonna punch you in the mouth.